Good. We can finally start the big meeting. Donnie, Chuck.
Let's begin, shall we? Shall we?
This box contains over 217 bits and pieces of information. Evidence. Exhibit A. A photograph of the victims. My bike and me. Exhibit B. Another photograph.
What's missing from this picture? It's just me. Without my bike!
Is this something you could share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry? Exhibit C. The horn I was picking up.
At Chuck's Bike-O-Rama.
When my bike was actually stolen. Exhibit D. Jimmy.
What is this? Too late.
Chip.
Looks like a pen.
Exactly. I bought this pen 1 hour before my bike was stolen.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
Exhibit Q.
A scale model of the entire mall.
X marks the scene of the crime. These arrows here show the exact position of the sun and the hour of the crime.
Jupiter was aligned with Pluto. The moon was in the
sun.
Please save your questions until I'm through, Chuck.
Well, when will that be? A long time we wait. We've been here for over 3 hours now, and I'm not sure if any of us can see what all this is supposed to mean.
Supposed to mean?
Supposed to mean?
I think everyone here knows what this is supposed to mean.
Live from the 905 Geek Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic. That's the way you start a week right there. Why, hello, it's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Now, I was trying to work in, and I know you are, but what am I sitting there? But I can't do it. It doesn't work. All right, well, whatever. Hi, it's Monday, and welcome to Day 12. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. If you would like to engage with us telephonically, why, you can do that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Scotty J is standing by to pass your comments along. The groundbreaking, the interesting, the tedious, the mundane, the somewhere in between. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com or sarah@970.am. tim@970.am or scottyj@970.am. 503-733-2970 is our phone number today, and hello, and so forth. All right, here's what's coming up today. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will be joining us from the Hill. We'll talk to, this should be interesting, coming up later on, we'll talk to Rachel McGrath, because Roop, I guess, is on vacation or something. So Rachel McGrath will be in Los Angeles talking about Barry Bonds and baseball. So we've got me, a Yank, who doesn't know anything about baseball, talking to a British woman in Los Angeles who may or may not know anything about baseball. Both of us discussing the American pastime. Neither of us probably informed about that subject. So that'll just be the blind leading the stupid there. Anyway, so we got that coming up. Let's see. We'll talk to our good friend Clyde Lewis later on today. I would say right now there's also a 23% chance we'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. I don't want to swear to it. I don't want to predict it. I don't want to tease something that's not going to happen. I'm just saying it may or may not take place. We might talk to Peter Carlin today. I can't be sure. It is 503-733-2970. Also today, a double snuff watch. Blah, 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 come in threes, blah, 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 someone else. So we'll do the double snuff watch. We have a fantastic corpse watch today. Get to that as well. We had a religious nutcase watch somewhere with us involving a stun gun, but I don't know where it went. It involved a stun gun and a woman covered in blood.
I think I have that.
Do you have that?
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, so we'll do that. We have a corpse watch, snuff watch, religious nutcase watch. We will continue our hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. We have a new submission for that today. And I got just this. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, here we go. That's wonderful. Yeah, exorcism, stun gun, covered in blood, screaming, crying in pain and gasping, blah, 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 something religious in nature. So we'll get that right there. What else? And right here, this, you hear that? That's a massive pile of news. All of it great, all of it fantastic, all of it compelling. None of it gotten to. None of it gotten to last week. Let's see, what else do we have? We'll do today's top five. Today, we have the top five slow dance songs from the 80s. Top five 80s slow dance songs.
Did Scotty J compile
them? No, I did that. I did that myself. Occasionally, Rick Emerson buckles down and does some work himself. Not very often, but I was bored last night.
You seem like you're in a productive mood today.
I am. I'm feeling fantastically ambitious today. We'll see if that works out. We'll see if it pays off for us. But I got a whole lot done last night for the show. I have to be. Just look at all of this stuff. I want someone just one of these days just to take a picture of the three of us here, literally, and I don't mean figuratively, I mean literally surrounded by news. I mean, we're just awash in news. So... all of this stuff here I got to get to. It's just, it's all wonderful. It's all fantastic. So, yeah, we'll do the top five slow dance songs from the 80s. And then finally, so last Friday we played that Mary Miller interview with Holly Hunter, where it was, I mean, just the worst interview you've ever heard. Somebody found another piece. It's not Mary Miller, but it's somebody else. It's another on-air news broadcast piece that is like a close second to that. It's almost as bad as the Mary Miller thing. Possibly worse. It really depends on your outlook. So we'll get to that. And we will have maybe a little bit of follow-up on that horrific, that helicopter accident thing.
And another news copter crash landed today in Dallas.
Yeah.
Luckily, nobody was hurt.
So there you go. So there's that. And Scotty, you can just... you can just eat it, pal, because Scotty was in here giving me the big... Remember on Friday, Scotty was in here being all self-righteous, but they won't show that helicopter footage on the air. That would be morbid. But 5 minutes after that... Listen, Scotty just typed this on the screen. Rick, we never saw the actual audio. Didn't we see the actual audio? Yes, we did, Scotty. They showed it... we hadn't even been off the air 10 minutes, and they were showing it on Friday. Friday, I mean, it was, I had not been off, we had closed out this program at like 3 o'clock on Friday, and by 3:15, the actual video of the crash was already up on their television, on that television channel's website. I'm amazed you didn't see it. Really? God, you're in such denial. All right, well, we'll talk about that a little bit, because it was interesting, if horrifying. All right, so we'll do all of that. Just one of those. It's going to be fantastic today. So just buckle in. It's going to be a wonderful program. We'll get the people already calling about some various things. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you?
Hello. I had a strange weekend, but it was good.
Now, I meant to ask you this on Friday, and we ran out of time because this helicopter thing just screwed up the last hour of our program. And that really is the big tragedy, how it affects us here on the Rick Emerson Show. But it just ate up the entire last hour to talk about that. So we never got to tease the fact that on Friday you were going to see Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, and I did.
Did you? Where were they playing?
They were playing at the Crystal.
That's kind of impressive, actually.
It was completely to the gills packed. Like, all the entire balcony area, everything, like the beer garden, the all-ages area.
This is Bone Thugs and Harmony, best known for their 1990s hit, The Crossroads, number one for 14 weeks in the Billboard charts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was fun. I went with my friend Kiki, and she knew, I didn't realize that she had such a love of them, and she knew every single song.
Did you have the hookup? Were you able to get backstage?
Yeah, we were backstage. It was me and Kiki and a bunch of, like, slutty girls and, like, these really scary, like, thug-looking guys who kept, like, honestly, like, fans were sticking their hands through the curtain to try and get them to sign something. And they'd just take the records or whatever the fans would do it and just chuck them. And then they'd shut the curtain
wonderful.
In their faces and, like, shove them away. I'm like, God, you're being really mean.
That's great. And so, please tell me there's a photograph of you backstage at a Bone Thugs and Harmony concert. Is there a photograph of you with the performers?
No.
Oh, come on.
No, we had to...
You didn't pose with Crazy Bone,
They played forever. And so finally, we ended up leaving after they played for a couple hours. Because they were all high, and they just kept going. Yeah, well, they're like smoking joints on stage.
No.
It was a shocker.
Did they play at that Crossroads?
They sure did.
Was it great? Was it all you remembered?
It was. They played. They were very enthusiastic.
Now, I haven't gone to a lot of live hip-hop shows in my life just because, and even though I have sort of fallen away from being a hip-hop listener in recent years, I mean, there was a time in my life when I was a pretty big hip-hop fan, but typically, maybe it's changed, but hip-hop fans are hip-hop fans. Hip-hop shows, I mean, I was a hip-hop fan for a long time, but hip-hop shows, live shows, are usually just so terrible. They're usually, hip-hop live shows are just awful, and I'm not, and let me just clarify that statement. I should actually clarify that to say that's not really the case when it's sort of like a local or indie performer. Like an indie or small-scale hip-hop show is typically pretty great because they know that they've got to do something. They can't just get up there and they can't lip-sync. They can't just get up there with some lip-sync, like a DAT tape, the backing track or something. Like, they have to put on a show. They really have to work for it. But in my experience, the few times that I've seen big rap acts live, it's just so tedious. It's so disappointing because it's always them on stage. It's like the guy, you know, whoever the lead performer is, the lead rapper, and they'll be like his hype man. And then there's just some backing tape going the whole time. And it's just him sort of lip-syncing along with himself for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always very disappointing.
So this one had a live DJ, but he was completely obnoxious. What?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm just weird. No, he had a there was a DJ.
Annoying. I'm sorry. It's just as you describe this, I'm just picturing you with a Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Awful.
Like backstage.
Well, and I felt, because it was one of those moments where you're with one of your friends, so you can tell this is one of the shining moments in their lives.
Kiki.
Was,
could there be a whiter name, by the way, for a girl who's backstage at Bone Thugs and Harmony?
And she was like, this is the greatest moment of my life. She was saying how it was the best show she'd ever been to. And if I was a bigger fan, it was a good show. It was entertaining. It was entertaining.
Fantastic.
And I went and saw Against Me on Saturday. We drove up to Seattle, Raul and I did.
So you saw Bone Thugs and Harmony on Friday, and then you drove up to see some punk band on Saturday in Seattle.
Yeah, Against Me and Spoon.
You did have an exciting weekend.
It was pretty fun.
Spoon is one of those bands that people are always talking about, but I don't have any idea who they are.
Yeah, Raul really likes them. I don't.
I feel like there's a lot of buzz about those guys, but I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I watched them play for like an hour, and then, I don't know, I didn't really get them. I need to listen to them more.
Were you going to see Billy Bob Thornton? Wasn't that you that was going to go see Billy Bob Thornton in concert?
No.
Okay. Because, you know, he's coming. He's coming to Klamath Falls.
Once again, I believe that's Kiki that wanted to go see it. I think I might have to go. Maybe we'll get backstage.
Is that
going to
rank right behind Bone Thugs and Harmony? I want to see Bone Thugs and Harmony. That Billy Bob Thornton is the greatest fan of my life. That's fantastic. Kiki continues just to be this fascinating.
She is completely fascinating.
Yeah.
How many other, like, 25-year-old girls do you know that love Bone Thugs and Harmony?
And Billy Bob Thornton. That really is. That's the duality that makes that whole thing
and
work.
And she thinks John Goodman's the sexiest man alive.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Kiki needs to spend more time with me. Working on the following stories for your edification today is one and only Tim Riley.
She pours out her heart. Letters written by Hillary Clinton during her college days to an old male school chum are released. One of the greatest TV hosts ever, Tom Snyder, passes away, as does Ingmar Bergman. Ashland will put a policeman on a Segway to patrol its downtown. Laughter will ensue from the townspeople. A Spokane neighborhood is terrorized by yellow jackets. Ed Anger's column and the Weekly World News will continue online.
Excellent.
Usher goes home to mother after his wedding is canceled. Nicole Richie will have to pay for her own jail time. And Paris Hilton loses her inheritance.
Fantastic. And that's all you need to know about that story. I mean, we'll read the rest of it so that we can sort of wallow in it. But that headline says it all right here. I've got that same story. Paris Hilton loses it. How would your ass like to wake up and find that you've lost $60 million while you slept? You went to bed, you had $60 million. You woke up, you've got bupkis.
Was it just announced this morning?
Let's see. 216, it was last night, apparently. What's today, the 31st?
No, the 30th.
Okay, the 30th. So this is 2:16 p.m. Australia time today, which would be like, what, that'd be like 4 in the morning or something here? Whatever, I'm making that up because I know you don't know either. Well, it was really early in the morning, so it came out early, early this morning. I'm just going to read just the opening sentence here. Party Princess Paris Hilton is out $60 million. After her, really, what do you need to hear after that? After her billionaire grandfather, appalled by her jail term for drunk driving offenses, axed her inheritance. That's fantastic. Excellent. In your face. All right. Scotty, is this Lisa Goddard calling at 11:15? Please explain. All right. For the love of God.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Now I've got crossroads going around in my head. You know, the great thing about that video for me is the cool thing about that crossroads song is that it does...
I forgot what a good song it is,
It's too. A great song.
It's a beautiful song.
The cool thing about that Bone Thugs and Harmony song, Crossroads, is it does cut across generational boundaries, because you love it because it's a great song and it's melodic, and it is, and it's one of it's got a great hook and it's got a whatever. And then all the guys who are my age, we all love it because it's about Eric Eazy-E, right? And he's in the video, and there's that in the video where they're all going up the mountain at the end,
yeah.
And they show Eazy-E in his Compton hat, because he was the guy who discovered Bone Thugs and Harmony, and he put them out on Ruthless Records and so forth, and Eazy-E is such a, I don't want to say a hero, but he is very much, he looms large in the Gen X consciousness. He really was. He was a big figure, in especially in hip-hop, but he was a big music figure, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. Hello, Scotty J.
Good morning, Rhododendron.
Please dispel Rhododendron.
I can't.
I know. I'm not even going to make you do it.
You know what the surprising thing about Bone Thugs and Harmony was, too, is that I forgot they had that other song, First of the Month.
See, I don't even... What's the first of the month, Sarah? What's that about? What's the significance of the first of the month?
Payday?
That's what I
you might look at it that way.
Are you trying to make a
the
period
mortgage
joke?
Is due?
What?
The mortgage is due?
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's a period joke. Yes, Bone Thugs and Harmony are rapping about your menstrual cycle. And they're doing it all fast. I'm not going to try to do it. I was going to try to tell a joke in the Bone Thugs and Harmony rhyming style, but we all know that's not going to work. Is this Lisa Goddard calling half an hour ahead of time?
Yes, she said she's real early, but she has some breaking news, too.
Oh,
ooh.
Is it breaking news? You got
you
a smile on your face, so I suspect
you know
that
the
I'm...
News
am I being set up?
No. It's, you know, breaking news, it's personal, just, you know, between something we were doing on the show. It's not breaking news like,
all right, well,
like helicopters or anything like that.
Yeah, speaking of which, so we'll get to Lisa in a second. And Lisa, I apologize, you're listening. I don't mean to make it wait, but we just got to do a couple things, and then we'll talk to Lisa, and we'll see what that's all about. Okay, you were so wrong. You couldn't have been more wrong.
Well,
if your name was Scotty Wrong J. There's no way you could have been more wrong about that helicopter thing on Friday. Those two helicopters in Phoenix crashed into each other, and we were all saying, well, hey, that footage is going to be on the news. And then you somehow got on your retarded high horse about how it was morbid and there was no way they would show it. At 3:15 they were showing it. If we'd been on the air another half an hour, we would have had the footage.
Okay, well, Saturday I was looking all over the Internet at helicopter crashes and whatnot, just to see what kind of footage is out there, so, you know, I would be...
Just whiling away the hours with your children.
Yes.
Come here and sit on Daddy's lap. Let's watch some helicopter crashes.
So, I went on Comcast, okay, and what they showed is just another helicopter news crew where he was commentating going, oh my God,
he was,
oh my God,
he was
and he
what?
Couldn't even breathe.
He was commentating?
Yeah.
Was Al Sharpton there?
I told you I make up my own words.
Yes, okay. Anyway, go ahead.
He was commenting on...
commenting? On the YouTube?
Yes. No, he was talking about how he had just witnessed the crash. And so the only thing you could see in that footage was burning
rubble.
When
you said you were looking on Comcast, what is that?
Well, you just go on to, you know, Comcast does high-speed internet and whatnot, but they have a
homepage?
Yes.
So you didn't actually search it anywhere else?
And they have a whole bunch of news.
It was on the station's own website.
Okay. Well, I need to get out there and look around.
Well, don't watch it because it's creepy.
You
don't want to watch it.
See the video.
It's so creepy. It's so unbelievably disturbing.
Is it the video of the guys that are
not yet? It's like
going
down. It's like point of view. It's like from their perspective. It's.
Well,
I mean,
I was creeped out just by the guy going, "Oh my gosh! Oh my God! Oh, he couldn't even talk. He couldn't breathe."
Well, the worst. I don't want to talk about it too much because it's just creepy. But
flying in like a month.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're all going to be flying. We'll have to start talking about helicopter accidents and plane accidents and all kinds of all manner of destruction. But the footage, they were playing it on Lycus on Friday because, like I said, they released it just like 20 minutes after we get off the air. And I went online and watched it because, I'll admit, I wanted to see what it looked like. I wanted to see what the deal was. And it was so unbelievably disturbing. When I say it's out there, I don't mean it's on like some pirated bootleg. I mean, it was on.
Well, I think everybody's seen it by now.
Yeah, it was on the station's news site. So but be warned if you decide to go watch that footage from inside that helicopter as a crash, it really is freaky. So we're not going to play it.
Right.
It's out there if you want to see it. It's just creepy, and I kind of wish that I hadn't watched it because it's just really, it's really unnerving. It's just really
it's sad.
I have no desire to see that.
It's not even. I mean. I suppose it's sad. Yes, it is. But, I mean, it's more than that. I mean, it's just disturbing. Like, you watch it, and you're like, why? And then as soon as you watch it, you're like, why did I feel compelled to watch that? What did I think? How did I think my life was going to be improved by that? So, all right. Did you smoke this weekend?
No.
You looked away again?
No.
Are you wearing the patch?
No. I'm pretty much done.
You're done with smoking.
Yes.
You're finished. You're over your cravings.
I hope so, yes.
Oh.
The only thing that bothers me is, like, being around smoking bars and drinking. It makes you want to... Yeah, and I guess that it will always be there forever.
Yes. Yes, you'll fail eventually. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Bars will be here forever.
Should we be getting Lisa here?
Yes. I think so.
All right. And then we got to talk about this other thing.
Well, is it... What's going on?
No, I mean, she can wait if you want, but...
I don't want to make her...
If you want to do it early...
Can you go assess...
Is there a specific reason why she's calling right now?
Yes, there is.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa.
Oh, Scotty J. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Here's what basically happened. I called Scotty to give him a heads up, to basically say, hey, during the segment today... I've got this thing we can talk about, so I just want to give you a heads up. But then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, great, put me on hold, and she's on the phone, and she's early. And I was really trying to give him a heads up and say, this is what's going on. And
thank you, Scotty. Thanks so much.
Pass on the word. It wasn't really, but we can roll with it, whatever you guys want, or I can call back.
Let's do this. Can we just, what we'll do is we'll have you address this first thing in your actual segment. And that way you're not having to do double the work here. So I'm gonna put you back on hold. Scotty will confirm with this, and then we'll talk to you here in a few.
Great.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Scotty. Thanks so much. Just completely destroy the momentum of the opening. I appreciate that.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. It's all right. We'll get these calls here in a second.
What did you do this weekend?
What did I do this weekend?
Mine was chock full of Bone Thugs and Harmony and Against Me.
That's wonderful. What did I do this weekend? I went to see the Simpsons movie, which is... I don't know how to describe it. It makes me feel like a jerk to say, well, wait and see it at like a McMinimins or, wait and get it to see it on a matinee or something. Because I guess the litmus test for any movie should be, is it funny? Did you laugh? Is it entertaining? And you know what? It's really funny. I laughed out loud a whole bunch. I lulled. Most movies that try to be funny fail. But you know what? I went to see The Simpsons, and it was funny, and I laughed out loud a whole lot, and it's hilarious, and it's great, and it's heartwarming, and it's whatever. But, there's just no reason for it to exist. I guess that's my thing about The Simpsons movie. I mean, it's still better than, like, 90% of the stuff out there anywhere. But by the same token, it's just sort of pointless. Like, it really is just a long episode of the TV show. The animation looks a little better. And, you get to see it in a room full of 200 people kind of laughing with you, and that's kind of fun. But by the same token, don't blow $20 to go see it. There's just no point. So I feel like a jerk kind of downing it that way or telling you not to go see it right now. But it really is just sort of, pointless. I mean, the two movies that the Simpsons movie is going to be compared to, I mean, it's going to be compared to the South Park movie. That's inevitable. Everybody will compare the Simpsons movie to the South Park movie. And, of course, the difference is, with the South Park movie, there was a reason to do it. Because those guys had a big chip on their shoulder, and everybody said that South Park was just bad animation and fart jokes, and there was no substance to it, and that South Park was stupid, and it was just crass, and there was no depth. And so Trey Parker, especially, he wanted to make a huge, mammoth, over-the-top production to sort of show people, hey, I really know what I'm doing, and this really is a legitimate art form, and whatever. And the other thing with the South Park movie is they obviously wanted to go out and just make the biggest, crudest, most disgusting, and most repellently obscene musical ever made. So they really, there was a point, and there was, and you know, they were able to really expand the universe of the TV show and so forth. The Simpsons movie doesn't really do that. As everybody has said, it is sort of like you took two episodes of the TV show and glued them together and made it into a movie. I mean, it's funny, and it's great, and it's well done, because it's The Simpsons. It just doesn't really need to exist. The more apt comparison for me is the Mystery Science Theater movie that came out a few years back. I don't know, in like 1997, something like that, they put out a Mystery Science Theater motion picture in the theaters. And there was just no reason for that to exist either, except that The only reason to have put out a Mystery Science Theater film back in, I don't know, 96 or 97, was that there was a lot of markets where the show wasn't on, or people hadn't seen it, or people didn't know that Mystery Science Theater existed. So by putting it into the theater, it was basically a marketing move to get people to be, to raise awareness of the show. Everybody knows that The Simpsons are on. It's not like The Simpsons is some cult program that needs the advertising. So I get the feeling they made a Simpsons movie just because, like, they had the money, and, you know, why not? And it was, like, one more thing on their list of stuff to do. So definitely see it. It's funny. It'll make you laugh. It's just, it doesn't really surprise you. It's exactly what you expect it to be. It's good. It's quality. It's funny. It's, you know, well done. It's just not terribly interesting.
Will you purchase it? If it's like in the $5 bin,
I'd buy it.
Exchange?
Yeah, especially because I get the movie itself is only 74 minutes, but apparently, I didn't know this, apparently they rewrote the script 100 times, and apparently there is actually 3 hours of deleted material. So I would buy it just for all the deleted material and just for all the whatever, and because I like to support The Simpsons. Again, I'm not saying it's a bad movie, it's certainly not. It is just as good as the television show, but it's no better than the television show. So, you know, it's just kind of there. I will say this one thing, though. There is actually, I won't spoil anything about the plot, but the opening, the film opens with them in the theater watching an itchy and scratchy feature film. And Homer stands up, and Homer's like, why would you possibly pay to watch something that you could see at home? Anybody paying to see this movie is a fool. And that kind of sets the tone for the entire, I mean, that really is, that kind of is it.
I kind of like self-awareness.
It is.
That
no, it's pretty great. And there, Marge Simpson has a scene about halfway through that will just make you cry like a girl. I will say that. There is just a legitimately, because The Simpsons can be really sweet and poignant when it wants to be. And there is this scene with Marge Simpson that just, yeah, it just breaks your heart. But so there's that, and, you know, and it's funny, and Green Day gets killed. So there's that. What are we doing here? All right. Well, let's do these things, and then we'll take a break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I like men now.
Hey, Rick, yes. I saw the movie on Friday.
You were tempted to do Ralph Wiggum there.
I was. Sorry. It's one of those things. It's interesting. You talked about how this movie was 90% better than 90% of the stuff that's out there. And I have to agree with that. And I think, you know, if you go to a matinee and you spend your $5 or $7, whatever it is nowadays, to watch the movie, you'll have a good time.
You'll
laugh out loud.
There's nothing wrong with the film. It is a perfectly, perfectly fine film. Well done. I'd say it's better than, like, season 9 or 10, which people have been saying.
Right.
It's just, I hate to do this because it's such an unfair comparison, but if you, and maybe you specifically, or people in general, if you remember when you went to see the South Park movie,
right,
and you didn't know what to expect, and that South Park movie just blew your mind. You had no idea what was coming, and that South Park movie just took your brain apart and rearranged it. And the Simpson movie is exactly what you expect. At no point are you surprised by anything that happens.
Other than to say that to have that kind of consistency after this much time is really an amazing feat.
Yeah.
So, as always, damn best show ever. And thanks a lot.
All right. Bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, yeah, I went and saw Simpsons, and I went with somebody who'd never seen a Simpsons episode before.
How is that possible?
She just had never seen the Simpsons. And
Is she from Croatia?
No, she's from California. And she just never seen the... But anyway, from a new person's point of view, she loved it. But I have a question for you, a trivia question.
Yes, sir.
Who was the only main character that wasn't shown in that movie?
Well, when you say main character...
Reoccurring character.
The squeaky-voiced teen wasn't in it.
Sideshow Bob wasn't in it.
True. There was no Sideshow Bob. You're right about that.
Weird.
Even Gabbo was in it. Gabbo was there, and I love Gabbo. Yeah, he was in it. You're right. Sideshow Bob was... And I know that Kelsey Grammer voiced some stuff for Sideshow Bob. I think it got cut at the last minute.
But Sideshow Bob was a big character in that show.
Take it up with... Add it to the list of things you can be pissed at Matt Groening for, okay?
Okay. Number 50. That's number 50.
Take it up with him. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. I don't have time to get to any of this other stuff, except to say this. This is my final observation. And then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Lisa Goddard. Okay, this is apparently the news. I know what the Lisa Goddard news is. And I know it in general. I don't know it specifically. Apparently, listeners should... This is from Scotty now. Listeners should stay tuned, Rick, as Lisa Goddard has picked a new last name.
Ooh.
Well, that is exciting, Scotty. So we'll get to that. Let me just say this. If you go to the Lloyd Center Mall, as you should, if you go to the Lloyd Center Mall, there is a new fantastic store there called, I think I wrote this down correctly, called Home Decor. And it's like a bad handwritten sign. The sign is written in like a Sharpie on pieces of cardboard that's like stapled up above the store. I think it's where the Toys R Us used to be at Lloyd Center, but I'm not entirely sure about that. In case you're wondering what kind of products they sell at Home Depot, my wife and I spent a fascinating 40 minutes walking through the store on Saturday. Among the items prominently displayed for sale at Home Decor, a Dale Earnhardt touch lamp. It's wonderful.
Did you buy it? Please tell me you bought it.
Oh, no. It was like $35. You walk in, and it's a big fake gold, and it's covered in like fake gold. It's a fake gold-covered touch lamp, and it's got the glass panels all the way. The shade part is all glass panels, and they're like bad Parade magazine-style drawings of Dale Earnhardt, and then you touch it. Right next to the Dale Earnhardt touch lamp, a Scarface touch lamp. And I swear to Christ, I always say this as like a shorthand for tacky things. I didn't think this stuff really existed except outside of my observations. I swear to God, a touch lamp of unicorns running down rainbows. It was wonderful. It's the best. And like every third item you see is either a unicorn, a Jesus, or Scarface. Everything. I mean, it's like Scarface with pictures of Tony Montana and things that didn't make any sense, like a toaster. What is this? Well, it's my Scarface toaster, you know? And like you press the toast down and say hello to my little toast, you know, or whatever. It's just, the store is ridiculous. It's unbelievably.
And this is in the Lloyd Center Mall?
Of course it's in the Lloyd Center. No, it's downtown. No, it's in Tannisbourne. it's full on in the Lloyd Center Mall. It's awful. It's so bad. It's among the worst selection of merchandise I've ever seen, but it's wonderful. It's glorious. You must go there. Oh, and the toys, they have a whole children's toy section, and the toys are all from like weird countries you've never heard of, like Slovenia or something, and it's all... And they all have those weird descriptions that are clearly translations, like a translation into a translation into a translation into a translation. And so it'll be like a children's toy gun, and the gun will say like "Happy Jubilation Convulsing," you know, convulsing gun. A lot of them were labeled convulsing toys. It's like they had a doll. What's this? It's a Happy Fun Time Jubilation Convulsing doll. I don't even know what that means, but I was so tempted just to buy all of that stuff and just bring it in here. I did not. Really, do I need to take this? Okay, we'll do this, and then we're breaking. Let me just...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hello, George. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. George! Well, you've blown your shot, George. You can't call again until next week. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard, who's picked a new name. Coming up at the top of the hour, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Clyde Lewis and the top five slow dance songs from the 80s. You stay right there. Wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful.
Tell me what you're going to do, but it ain't nowhere to run.
You know, the thing is, in a weird way, I guess I can see Kiki really being into this.
And they look exactly the same.
Really?
And this song is really sad. Like, you start to listen to the lyrics at the end, and it's like, I don't want to die.
But you know what? Here's the great thing about this song. Let's all acknowledge it in this video. They have the coolest looking Death ever. Because Death is just like that huge black man with the trench coat.
Mm, is that the one where the eyes get cloudy?
Yeah, well, they go black.
Uh-huh.
They, like, he walks, like, there's the grandfather, like that Ossie Davis-looking guy who's sitting on the front porch, and Death comes by, and Death is all, "Hello, soul man, you are coming with me, Big Black Death," and, Black Death, but, you know, and then Death touches him, and then the guy's eyes go all black, and then he walks in, and again, they're all climbing up the mountain together, mm-hmm. in the white robes and whatnot. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show.
One of them got kind of chubby.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm trying to see if he was actually always chubby. Nope.
Chubby bone. All right, Rick. And we'll get Lisa Goddard here in like 10 seconds. Rick, I was just talking about Lloyd Center yesterday. It seems to be increasing the number of weird stores. More of those stores that have no real sign, just butcher paper with something scribbled on it and all their merchandise on card tables. Apparently the Clackamas Mall is full. That's exactly what this place is. It's a lot of card tables with their wares.
Is it the place, is it where they have the costumes during Halloween season?
I don't know the answer.
Is it toward Nordstrom on the bottom floor?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that.
Maybe I might be wrong
about
that.
It's like this trashy costume warehouse.
You expect to see a guy spreading out a blanket with a bunch of DVDs, like, in front of the store. It really is wonderful. And then I spent all day. That was Saturday. Here's what we did. We went to that store, and then we ate at my father's place and just loaded up on the degrees and just ate like pigs all weekend. So starting today, I got to be healthy.
That's why I promised myself I'm keeping my car parked this entire week. I had...
ate like nobody's
yeah,
business.
Yeah, me too. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. And then I spent all yesterday in Clackamas getting my car stereo work done. So that was a lot of fun. Clackamas, where there was no choice but to walk to, like, it was at some fast food place across the street, like a Waffle House or something. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, again, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, again, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, how are you?
Well, hello to you both.
Sorry about earlier, we were just sort of in the show opening mode, and then Scotty came rushing in, flailing his arms and gibbering about how we had to take your call right away.
I was on hold being like, no.
In slow motion.
It was.
On the ground, kneeling, looking up at the camera. All right, so, we'll put this off to the end. We'll make the people wait, but apparently you have chosen a new last name.
That is correct.
Now, is this a name that both you and your fiancé will use?
That is correct.
All right, and will this become your professional name as well?
That is also correct.
All right, well, we'll find out what that is in just a few minutes. let's see. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. What else do we have here? President Bush wraps up 2 days. Boy, that new British prime minister is just a dullard. And I don't mean that he's not bright. I mean, he's just dull. He's just unbelievable.
Yeah, but come on. Who are you looking to as your example of, like, a really hilarious British prime minister? I mean, Margaret Thatcher, maybe.
Well, at least you got the feeling.
Winston Churchill would have some fun, but, you know.
With Margaret Thatcher, at least you got the feeling that at any moment she might knock over a table and kick someone. You know what I mean? Or, like, at any, like, laser beams might shoot out of her eyes. Like, she had sort of a robo-Thatcher kind of a thing going on. This guy just seems, unbelievably tedious, which, is this an indication that they've moved on from the swinging good time fun of Tony Blair, and they're ready to get a grown up in there?
You know, I don't know. I think he's being very careful, and I think he knows that he's doing well in Great Britain, and I think this is essentially the White House for any British prime minister right now is like the fire swamp, perhaps. You know, the British people not so much liking the president, and I think any British prime minister has got to try to get away from the whole lapdog label like Katie Couric and the word perky. And I think that's why you didn't see him being overly hilarious, overly congenial. And you notice there, it was interesting, this news conference they had just a couple hours, Gordon Brown and President Bush. On the second question, Gordon Brown right away stepped in. Either there were two questions, one for each leader, and Brown stepped in right away and said, "Mr. President, let me start this off. I'm gonna answer that question." It was kind of a sort of, "I'm not gonna sit here and let you dictate," you know, not in a mean way, but we're on equal terms here. I'm gonna step up a little bit more than perhaps Tony Blair might have in this news conference.
Because is that the thing that really did that really condemn Tony Blair with the people? This idea, either right or wrong, this perception that he was just Bush's poodle.
I think so. I think he really had that. I think he is still admired in Great Britain and in much of Europe for a lot of what he's done. He made tremendous strides, I mean, historic strides in Northern Ireland and also on global climate change. But I think when it comes down to it, the Iraq War is one of the greatest issues facing the world right now. And Tony Blair was very deferential to President Bush on that. Perhaps he did see eye to eye with him. Perhaps he thought President Bush was dead on correct. But, you know, we had that leaked audio of the two of them at that diplomatic dinner in which Tony Blair was clearly kind of almost waiting for a scrap from Bush's table for him to, you know, continue this conversation that really didn't speak well of how Blair approached the president. And I think that Gordon Brown has got to steer clear of that kind of image. And what's more, Bush is on the way out, Brown's on the way in, and in fact, in about 15 minutes, we'll have a news availability, they call it, essentially kind of a news conference, with Brown up here with Republican leaders in the Senate. Now, these are the guys he's going to have to work with for years. President Bush, year and a half, then he's gone.
He's a short-timer.
He's a short-timer, people.
And you know, and I'm going to be going to England later on this year, and my wife and I are already talking about should we wear, like, big Canadian shirts or something. And I was actually thinking about just cutting the Gordian knot here and just wearing a shirt that says, "Don't hate me because I'm American." Because that sort of addresses the issue head on. I'm not lying. I'm just saying, look, I'm an American. Please don't dislike me.
Although, you know, I could be wrong, but I have a feeling that a shirt precisely like that is what Europeans hate about us.
Well, but Elisa, but I'm copping to it, right? Like, I'm sort of like, look, I know that we're a hideous people.
Like,
but
the nature of that shirt, something about that shirt, the cheese factor, there's something about that Europeans would be like, you think you're so funny and great, Mr. American, with your funny little American shirt.
That's exactly how they'd, and then they'd spit on me.
That's what would happen.
You Americans, you disgust me. And then they'd set fire to me. So, all right. Well,
I do have one interesting Gordon Brown fact that might help you out with him.
All right.
He's blind in one eye.
Ha! Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed. That was wrong.
And he has lasers in it. No.
Okay. I don't know why the blind in one eye thing. I think it was your delivery on that. I think it was just the way that you just sort of sold that. All right. Hold on. Let me. I'm trying to. Let's see. I'm trying to find the drum roll here.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
Sarah,
do we have a drum roll?
I didn't mean all this.
I was trying to find one, too, and we don't have one.
I have
a rim shot.
Wait. Hold on. Here we go. I got the drum roll. All right. Here. I've got drum roll. This is Scotty. He gave me drum roll symbol. That is symbol S-Y-M-B-O-L, by the way. Apparently, it's just a pictograph depicting what a drum roll might look like. All right, so before we go any further here, this is the result of, I would say, what, almost 9 months you trying to find a last name?
Yes,
When are you getting married? October, September?
Back and forth, October. Good memory, yes.
All right, and you and, what's his name, Sporbert, you're trying to find...
Jason Sporbert, yes.
A new name, this will be the last name of the both of you, and this will be your new professional name.
This will be my new professional name. That's correct.
All right. Sarah, let's all agree to pretend to like this name, even if it's horrible.
Will do.
All right. And...
Desjardins.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I know you guys don't like it.
Did we suggest that, or did you come...
I don't know where your listeners are on it.
Did you come up with that, or did some listener suggest that?
No, that was Jason.
All right, how do you spell it? That's why it's not a good choice. No offense. That's why it's not a good choice. From a marketing point of view, that's a shoddy choice, Lisa, because nobody would be able to spell it.
I know. Or I will know, you know, I'll know who my, you know, who the true listeners are, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, we have our pens poised.
You know, nobody ever asks Ashley Banfield how to spell her name.
I know.
All right, how do you spell it?
Okay, here you go. D-E-S, as in Sam, which, of course, is day, D-E-S, and then J-A-R.
Is this a capital J?
We're not even getting into that. Nope, no capital
J. J-A-R.
Yeah, we got enough going on.
D-E-S-J-A-R. This is terrible already. Go ahead.
And exactly, D-I-N-S. So it really does not look like it's...
Desjardins. way to go. Well chosen.
We're going to get a lot of Desjardins, that's correct. Yes?
What's
the significance?
Does he know how to read?
Well, it could have, like, that boy named Sue effect for the kids, we're hoping.
Uh-huh. Why did he pick this? Where is this from?
It's a French-Canadian name, which actually...
Oh, yeah, that'll get your friends everywhere.
It'll serve us better than your T-shirt, my friend.
Okay,
S on the end of it, though.
There is an S on the end, okay. Yes.
Did he make up this name from scratch, or confluence of...
I think it would be cooler if we had... That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought we were going to just pull something out. And we actually did consider a couple of the Emerson names were really in the hunt there.
Yeah.
But in the end... this was the name he had as a child, which was changed when he was 12, and it was off and on the table. It was on the table, then off the table, then on the table. And we went off for vacation a couple weeks ago up to Maine to visit the Desjardins clan, And already it's affecting my speech, this name.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fantastic. These are all his, would be his step aunts.
So this is some sort of family name twice removed or something?
It is. It was his stepfather's name, but his stepfather, they divorced, and he really didn't keep up with his stepfather very much.
Yeah.
He thought that it's very confusing.
Let me ask you this. Let me just cut to the chase here. Is the fact that this was some family name or something, is that influencing his choice? I'm guessing that's a big yes, by the way.
My whole thing with him is he felt like Sporberg. He never liked the name Sporberg. He wanted a name that he really could identify with.
Yeah.
And so I think as a kid, because...
Are you just deferring to him because he's the man? Be honest.
Of course I am. That's what I should do, right?
Well, that's the right answer. Okay. Whatever, sister.
I can kind of be a little ab-fab about it.
Yeah, it's your life.
You know, Desjardins, darling, Gucci, Gucci, darling.
Don't say that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
All right.
I
feel like we can try it on. I feel like there's a whole bunch of, we can bend it, we can flex it, we can make it our own.
Does this have some sort of accent mark or something on it, or like a diacritical mark?
No, we could throw one in there, though. I mean, that's open. we're open on that. Sure, whatever. Maybe
yeah.
Over the A, over the R, over the N.
All right.
Whatever.
Well, you know.
And it's so nice. It means of the garden, which is very nice.
You know,
I like that.
What are the odds of us talking to your fiancé?
I need to talk to him.
Okay.
I'll get him for you.
I'm gonna. Yeah, you need. We need to do that because this clearly.
Can you do it today?
I can try. I think he's got the meetings going on today. I can email him.
All right. You let him know that we have a few observations on this name we need to share with him before it's too late.
Okay. I mean, I'm delighted. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
I know you're.
I love
viewing,
Lisa's enthusiastic optimism.
You're viewing everything through the rose-colored glasses of engagement.
She's in love.
You know it's true.
I don't know. Engagement. I'm psyched to be married. I think we're going to have a great wedding. But let me just tell you, these details in this wedding industry are ridiculous.
No, it's
true.
These
people want you to decide and buy and do are out of control.
Can I tell you, my wedding cost like $150. Got $150. There was like two people there.
See, that's what we need to do.
Two people there, and at one point, a guy with a surfboard who we didn't know walked through the middle of our ceremony. So there you go. All right. I'm gonna put you on hold, and Scotty, do you want
to... right now, I will see if he emails me back.
All right, I'm gonna put you on hold, and you and Scotty can figure that out, and maybe it happens today, maybe...
Okay, put me on hold.
All right, thank you, Lisa. All right, there you go, that's Lisa Goddard. Scotty, please to pick up Lisa's call. You could just, thank you.
Jess Jardins?
That's the worst name.
Oh, man.
That's
I can see, but
choice.
You know what? It's a good choice if it means something to them.
Uh-huh.
That's
doesn't mean something to them. It means something to him.
I don't even remember how to pronounce it now. I'm looking at it. Desjardins? What was it?
Chardet.
Desjardins?
It means something to him. It doesn't mean something to them. Someday when she's divorced, she's trying to get ahead with her career. That name is not going to help.
You're just mean.
Big ball around that ankle. Big ball and chains, what that's going to be. All right. Let's see. Okay. What are we... Okay, here's we've got some call. Oh, George from Wilson will call back, but I'm thinking about just putting him in the box until next week. We've got somebody who saw Bone Thugs in Harmony, and we've got line 3, which is a mystery call. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Line 3 is a mystery call. Line 1 is George. Line 2 is somebody who saw Bone Thugs in Harmony, but the twist on this call is that someone, as we just sort of call back to last week, is, what's his name, Bobby Terrell.
I met Bobby Terrell. That's why I called you. Did you get that
drunk
phone call from me?
Oh, yeah, you left me. I'm with Bobby Terrell. But it was, like, way too late, and I didn't want to call you back.
Because I met this guy, and he was with my friend Emily, and he's just like, oh, my name's Tane. I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. And I'm like, I recognized him. I'm like, oh, you asked to be my friend on MySpace. And he was looking at me like he had no idea who the hell I was. And finally, he's like, oh. I'm Bobby Terrell.
Yeah, Bobby Terrell. Oh, and he's that musician that calls up and insists that we use his, that we refer to him by his whole name all the time. So, do I want to talk to him? Was he a cool guy or was he an ass?
He was. He was pretty cool.
All right.
Nice. He bought us a lot of Jello shots.
Bobby Terrell.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hi,
Bobby Terrell.
Oh, I just want to make a couple different observations. Is that I have backstage passes with Emily. We didn't go because I didn't feel like I was really appropriate. I was dressed appropriate enough to go backstage because I wasn't wearing like a mini skirt and I didn't have a halter top on.
Yeah.
Kiki and I weren't in mini skirts and halter tops.
Well, but I didn't show up. I could have gone. I you're right. But the craziest thing, the weirdest thing, maybe I haven't been to like enough big concerts or whatever, is I don't know if you noticed this or not, Sarah, but the amount of cell phones in that place.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look, when we went to My Chemical Romance last month or whenever that was. I did a whole observation about this the next day. That at some point, the switch was flipped from lighters, and then there was like about 6 months where it was glow sticks.
Exactly.
But now,
that's what totally blew me away.
It's all cell phones, and you look out there, and everybody's waving their cell phones, not to take pictures or to get audio most of the time, just as a non-flame light source.
It is. It's the new lighter.
It is. It's
the new lighter.
It's completely weird. Yeah.
By the way, I don't smoke weed. I got a contact high from being in there. Honestly,
yeah,
I left.
It was
so awful. I was hungry and laughing.
It was
I'm like, what's
sick.
Going on here?
I went to the Smoke and Grooves concert. I don't know, a few years ago, and the Smoke and Grooves was like Cypress Hill and Public Enemy and Wyclef Jean, a bunch of whatever.
Was it at least outdoors? Because inside, being trapped in that hot box was awful.
Yeah, so, and then and by the end of like the first set, you're completely stoned, whether you're actually getting high or not. Yeah.
All right. But you know, one thing I think I did actually notice is that, and I can be wrong, but correct me if I am, but did you not think that it was partially taped? Because it seemed like from the first album, everything was really, really clear. Like all the vocal tracks were really clear. When they sung everything off the first album, and then everything off the latest album seemed a little bit like it was live, but everything else seemed like it was actually like it was like taped. And Emily made the same comment. The person that I was with made the same comment. We're noticing it as well.
Maybe.
Yeah,
well,
they just looked so messed up when they were up there.
They were probably stoned. I mean,
I watched the lead singer guy drink 5 beers in the course of an hour, less than an hour.
And hip-hop concerts are notorious for being pre-taped. And again, that's why I don't go to see a lot of big hip-hop acts live, because they're notorious for just miming to a background track, which is just, whatever, but I'm not into that. All right, that's Bobby Terrell. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley. Are you preparing news for us as we speak, Tim?
I am. The process never ends.
Hurrah. All right, we return momentarily. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio! Hey, man, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hey, man. Now the cop finding fruit. Flavored methamphetamine, it's the newest Oregon thing. They're finding it in Lane County. It is fruit-flavored meth, also known as Strawberry Quick. They found it twice in the past weekend. It's something that parents should be concerned about, but it's not being marketed to children yet. So be aware of Strawberry Quick. Nationwide, the flavored crystals have been reported in Washington, California, and Idaho, along with some states in the Midwest and South.
Now, here's a dumb question. Who here smokes meth? Okay, so see, it's a question that I'm not going to get an answer to unless some meth user calls up. So, attention meth users. I really honestly don't understand the thing about strawberry-flavored cocaine and now strawberry-flavored methamphetamine. Now, color me stupid.
Yeah, that does seem kind of weird, because isn't that just like sugar? And
I don't
really
know.
If you're putting something like that in your body, then...
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to plead ignorance. Now, I know this is going to blow my street cred as a Southeast Portlander.
Yes.
I don't really know anything about methamphetamine.
Just walk outside the door and ask. Somebody will educate you in a hurry.
When I'm not...
Stop any passing car.
When I'm not busy, when I'm taking a break from buying Scarface merchandise.
Those are the ones that are flashing their headlights.
Anyway, see, okay, so... It's like a J. Evans Pritchard thing. Mm-hmm. What is methamphetamine? I mean, is it like a crystal?
Yes.
Is it a powder?
Some sort.
Is it like a rock, like
They're
crack?
Flavored crystals.
Like
Folgers.
Like, I was just going to say that. Fantastic.
It is the Folgers of methamphetamine.
We've all been working together just long enough. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is it, you know, like a rock of crack is like...
I'm sure we have listeners who know of someone who might have used methamphetamine.
I guess that's my first question.
But we only want to speak with people who use the fruit-flavored kind, the Strawberry Quick.
Pleased to be calling now.
Scotty,
if you
scream for Strawberry Quick only.
So methamphetamine is like a crystal that you then smoke in a glass pipe?
I guess so. You flap your arms and jump off a balcony somewhere.
They ought to have a brand of drug just called the link letter. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though, I know what you mean. I don't know the difference between like crack and meth.
I mean, I guess, you know, because meth
crack is the same as meth.
No, because crack is a distilled, cooked form of cocaine. Methamphetamine is amphetamine, which is different. I mean, they're both stimulants, but methamphetamine is made out of methamphetamine is related to like ephedrine, sort of. It's sort of like that, but it's like a high-powered, really crude version of ephedrine, whereas crack is a free-based version of cocaine.
Oh, there are different ones on this methamphetamine community page. Here.
And so I... Really? Is it like the Yahoo
Marquee
group?
Black, Fasta Purple, Meckle Pale Green.
And so I guess my question is, if there is a strawberry-flavored methamphetamine, like, is that a thing you can even taste? Because if you're smoking strawberry meth, like, does it taste like strawberries, or is it just a gimmick, or is it just like that it's pink and it looks different? Is that I wonder that about that strawberry cocaine, because one of the effects of cocaine is an anesthetic, and so cocaine numbs the surface of your skin. That's why they use cocaine as a topical anesthetic in eye surgery. Like, if you ever had your eyes operated on, they put cocaine on the surface of your cornea before they cut into your eye because it's an anesthetic. And it numbs your gums. It does all that stuff. So my thing is, if like the strawberry-flavored cocaine, it seems like you wouldn't even be able to taste it because it numbs the inside of your nose or whatever. So,
oh, here we go. Methamphetamine.
Welcome to the National Information Center. This website contains lots of valuable facts about this very important issue. Courteous, highly trained staff people are here to assist you find the facts. We have access to the largest nationwide database of resources.
Thanks, man.
I was just going to say, hey, man, welcome to the methamphetamine help page.
What is crack? Oh, here we go. Street meth. Crystal methamphetamine, better known as crystal meth, comes in many forms. It can be smoked, snorted, orally injected, or injected. The drug alters moods in different ways depending on how it is taken. Immediately after smoking the drug or injecting it intravenously, the user experiences an intense rush or flash that lasts a few minutes and described as extremely pleasurable. Snorting or oral ingestion provides euphoria, a high but not an intense rush. Snorting produces effects within 3 to 5 minutes. An oral injection produces effects within 15
oral
to 20
injection.
Minutes.
Oral injection?
Yeah.
Is that like injecting it into your gum?
I suppose so.
Oh, that doesn't even sound fun.
Let's see. Because tolerance for methamphetamine occurs within minutes, meaning that the pleasure effects disappear even before the drug concentration and the drug falls significantly, users try to maintain the high by binging on the drugs. In the 1980s, ice, a smokable form of methamphetamine, came into use. Ice is a large, usually clear crystal of high purity that is smoked in a glass pipe like crack cocaine. The smoke is odorless, leaves a residue that can be smoked, and produces effects that could be... continue for 12 hours or more.
All right. Well, I think we've got here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Are you calling from Southeast?
Hello, sir.
Are you calling from upstairs in my apartment?
Hello. Hi. I know you're there.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you filling up a pipe of crystal methamphetamine?
Okay, this is your last chance. I know you can hear me. Okay, bye now.
Thanks. Thanks so much. He must be in the euphoric state.
The best part was how at one point he actually said hello. He said hello and I responded back. All right. Well, and all the other people on hold are calling about other things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anywho, well, there you go. I mean, I don't really care because I'm not a meth user. I'm not going to become a meth user.
No.
And by the way, before anybody questions why I have such an extensive knowledge of whether cocaine numbs your gums or not, I only know this because that's why. Because you don't see those. You always see those cop shows and it's always the same thing, where the cops go in and they raid the house, and the guy licks his pinky and touches it to the white powder and, like, rubs the powder on his gums. He's like, yep, cheap, that's the real deal. Well, I found out that apparently that is because cocaine, again, it numbs your gums, and so that is not it's not a way to test whether it's cocaine as such, but it's just a way to test whether or not that powder is an anesthetic, and if such, it's likely that it's cocaine. So... it just makes the strawberry flavoring thing kind of pointless. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be buying cocaine anytime soon. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So are we done with the methamphetamine topic?
I guess, because, the people who are calling us about it are too high to know when we're, like, talking to them. So, all right, here's Tim.
The seaplane pilot of the year has been killed in a crash. Clackamas County Medical Examiner's Office released the name of the second person killed when a small float plane crashed into the Willamette over the weekend. Deputy Jeff Mayer said he notified family members that 55-year-old Scott Forsberg of Gilbert, Arizona, that when the float plane he was flying crashed into the river on Saturday. Then a Vancouver woman died after she fell off a cliff. This happened east of Washougal. Melissa Pond was found dead in the lower part of the trail. She had been looking for a dog. She didn't find it. Ashland is poised to become one of the few cities in the nation to patrol its downtown with a battery-operated two-wheel personal vehicle, commonly known as a Segway.
That makes total sense, too. If you spend a lot of time in Ashland, where the biggest sources of income seem to be selling, like, pointy wizard hats that guys use during Ren Fairs. Ashland is lousy with Ren Fairs. So it makes a lot of sense that
they're spending $6,000 to buy a Segway specifically for police. It has life in the siren on it.
Really?
Yes, it does.
Will
be taken seriously.
What is the top speed on a Segway? Like 10 miles an hour or something?
50 miles an hour, it says.
15?
Yeah.
How fast? What is the top?
The policeman is going to be allowed to go 50 miles an hour on it.
So what is the top speed? Like, what is the average speed at which somebody runs?
5 miles an hour, perhaps?
No.
No, that's walking. Maybe 15 or 20.
So there's no way you can catch somebody on a Segway.
No.
I mean, the only way you can catch somebody in a Segway is if they're just not moving at all. I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, or one of those guys on the ramp with no legs. Yeah, one of those guys. One of those, like, Eddie Murphy in Trading Places guys. All right.
Well, apparently, they've been test riding the Segway. And apparently, riding on the gadget makes a policeman more approachable. An important element of law enforcement.
If by approachable, you mean ridiculous looking.
Yes.
Has anybody here ridden a Segway?
No.
Sarah?
No, I wish.
See, and me too. We're going to get somebody. If you own a Segway, come by the station so one of us can ride it around in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Please now call. The only time I had a chance to ride a Segway was in San Fran the last time I was there. They were doing some Segway tour of the city. And Laura and I signed up for it, and then it was like a 9-hour wait. And we were like, F that, so we didn't do that. But I really would like to ride a Segway, not because I want to own one or that I would ever buy one, because seriously, Segways are just dumb. But just so I can check it off the list of things that I wonder about. Oh, wait, here's a guy who says, I am expert on all meth questions.
And ride a Segway.
Do we care about meth still?
It's up to you.
Well, I mean, we still don't really know what it is, right?
That's true.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's going on, man?
I see how this guy can hear me. All right. Yeah, what's up, brother?
Oh, I was just going to answer your...
Should we ask how it is that you are a meth questioner, meth expert, or should we make up our own reason?
Oh, no, I used to do it quite a bit, but it's not something that I do anymore.
Okay, good for you.
Just a casual thing, you know?
So, that's now and again as a pick-me-up. So, methamphetamine, so is it a crystal?
Yeah, usually what they put out now is a crystal. That's kind of like the thing that's been around for the last 20 years, but it's like an amped-up version of regular speed or amphetamines.
So it's like it looks like a small cloudy gemstone of some kind, maybe.
It looks like rock, like sea salt or something.
Or like rock candy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. And so you wait. So with meth, this is the thing you always hear about meth, that it's like made with cleanser and bleach and Comet and crap from under the sink. Oh. Is that true or is that just like a thing they say?
It's made from some pretty gnarly chemicals. You can get the same thing in a pharmaceutical form, but they use like real nice clean chemicals and then
lie.
Yeah,
mason jars.
Totally. Wait, Tim says spoken only as a landlord.
Things I collected and brought to the dump. No questions asked.
At the dump, do they have like this lane for household trash, this lane for meth labs? Fantastic. And I have heard. I'm not saying that amphetamines in general are good for you, but I have heard that the thing that's so dangerous about meth is not even so much the actual amphetamine, but it's like all the crap that they pack into it.
I'm sure that's true, yeah, because you see people that, you know, like Adderall is basically a pharmaceutical version of the same thing.
Right.
And people do that for their entire lives sometimes with no problem.
But that's because it doesn't have, like, household cleaner in it or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the difference between morphine and heroin.
Now, please forgive the question, sir. Now, have you also done crack?
A couple times, yeah.
Okay. Now, and crack, of course, is just, it's like free, it's free-based cocaine, right?
Yeah, it's the same. It's what people used to do free-based back in the 70s, you know, and then they came out with crack, which is kind of the same kind of thing, but I think it's the difference is that it's cleaned with ether, and that gets all the toxins out of it so that it's safe to smoke. Because if you just stick cocaine into a pipe and smoke it, you're getting a lot of really, really things that are really bad for you.
yeah, you don't want any. You want that safe cocaine.
Yeah. So only the good stuff.
Now we're getting into things that are hard to describe. But now do meth and crack, now does it feel similar? Do they feel alike?
No. See, meth is more like a real long-term effect, and it's kind of a smooth feeling thing. It lasts for a long period of time, and you sometimes don't even realize how amped up you are right away. But then with crack and cocaine, it's like an instantaneous burst of energy, and the crack, of course, lasts far less. Maybe 10.
Well, and that's the thing about crack, right? People are constantly having to do it because it wears off real fast. So if somebody had strawberry flavored meth, is that a thing you'd even be able to tell?
Yeah, because the taste is very distinct of that stuff. And the problem with snorting it or eating it is that it tastes pretty bad. And it hurts, actually.
Yeah.
It's painful. And the good thing about smoking it is that it actually doesn't taste so bad that way. But I don't know why, if you really would want to go to the trouble of
I'll just take your word for it. And the final question, and again, and this is sort of a personal question, but I only ask because I'm always curious about these things, and I'm not trying to set myself up as better than anybody else, but I'm pretty lame in terms of the things I've done in my life. So at some point a guy put some meth in front of you and said, hey, do you want to do some meth? And then, like, in your head, like, the yes button lit up. Now, what is it What is it that made you think that meth was a thing you wanted to try? And I only ask out of curiosity.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And, you know, I'm a person that I pretty much trust myself as not being a overly addictive type. And it was actually back before there was all this publicity about it. Like, now there's tons of publicity about how bad it is and everything. But, you know, 10 years ago, not so much. And so I actually honestly didn't think of it as being such a dramatic thing. And I was just, you know, in a point in my life where I was into kind of experimenting with
just
things.
One of those guys. Were you that guy that would just do anything they put in front of you?
Probably for the most part, yeah. Unless it was heroin, I never did that.
All right. Well, excellent, sir. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for answering the questions for us.
No problem.
All right, there you go. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. All right. It's 50. There you go. See, now you're a little smarter than you were before. It's 503-733-296. I didn't ask him the cocaine thing. Well, that's okay. Doesn't matter. Here's Tim Riley.
A local contractor from St. Helens says he wants voters to put a stop to businesses hiring illegals by declaring Columbia County a legal workers-only zone. Remove their ability to get jobs and the problem stops, says Wayne Mayo. He's a St. Helens remodeling contractor. It's a matter of local justice, local law. He wants a bright 4x8 sign reading, legal workers only, to be posted across the county. The signs would list contact information for the Sheriff's Department and federal immigration agents.
That's just crazy. Crazy talk.
Liberals. Then we have a Spokane neighborhood being terrorized by yellow jackets. Neighbors say the honoree insects are attacking anything that moves.
Ha!
One man's dog was stung 3 times.
Oh, is the dog okay?
That's nothing. Yes, nothing compared to the dog's owner, who's been stung 10 times and counting.
See that is right there. That's the distinction on this program. We're all worried about the dog, but the guy who lives in Spokane couldn't possibly care less about him. That's, and yellow jackets. Now I don't understand. And this is a long entomological discussion that I entomological.
Insect talk.
It's bug talk. But there's bees. There are yellow jackets. There are hornets, and there are wasps.
Yes.
I think hornets and wasps are the same thing, but I don't really know. Yellow jackets, though, freak me out. When I was growing up in Kennewick, we didn't have many run-ins with hornets. But, man, yellow jackets were all over the place, and they just terrified me. To this day, yellow jackets really freak me out. Because the difference we were always told was that bees only stung, like, in self-defense. And, of course, once a bee stings you, it's dead. Like, when a bee stings you, it kills. It dies. But a yellow jacket can just sting you over and over again, and they just do it just for fun. Like, they're just sort of like, they're sort of like wharf rats. They just sort of attack you for no real reason.
Yellow jackets is the common name for wasps.
Oh, so they are. So yellow jackets and wasps are the same? Mm-hmm.
They're commonly mistaken for bees, which they are not.
No, bees are small and sort of brown looking.
There's a picture of a yellow jacket.
Don't even show it to me. It freaks me out. I mean, it's not that I'm afraid of insects as such, because they're, like, creepy and crawly. It's
they're half an inch long, they're short and blocky.
And they hurt, man. Have you ever been attacked by a yellow jacket?
I don't know what use they serve.
Oh, man.
They're no friend of man.
No, they're one of those creatures that exists solely and simply just to irritate us. I mean, just to make our lives hell. You know, here's another thing. You know, what is the, let me ask you this. What is the point of goddamn houseflies? They don't do anything. They don't, they do nothing. Do they eat anything? Do they, in other words, is there any benefit to houseflies, except in as much as maybe they are eaten by things like frogs that need to stay alive? But houseflies themselves, as far as man goes, they serve no purpose, do they? None. Zero. They don't spread pollen. They don't eat smaller predators. In pests, they don't get rid of anything.
They also transport disease-causing organisms.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for that, bastards. Thank you. You know what my kitchen is full of right now, though? Not full of those fruit flies.
I have little ants everywhere.
We have little ants, too, and those huge carpenter ants. We got those, too.
Ooh, those freak me out.
Yeah, Lara's not. I see, and ants I'm fine with. Ants I sort of like.
They're just more of an annoyance. I hate having to throw out Muppets food because they get into it.
Yeah.
So, I set it down, and then I'll have to move around the bowl constantly so that they don't crawl into it.
When we get ants, I sort of put them on a magazine and herd them outside. But those, we got those. I left, it's my fault. I left some standing water in the sink for a couple days. I was, like, soaking a pot. And I left it there, and you know, standing water. The next thing I do, I go in there, and it's like, man, it's like I'm in, Da Nang. There's just a horde of fruit flies in the kitchen.
House flies originated in Asia before they came here.
I might have known.
Adult flies usually live 15 to 25 days.
Yeah,
it's usually, but may not live up to 2 months, so they're not around for too long. So you can't hold a grudge against
them. Well, and those fruit flies only live for 48 hours, and yet I can't get rid of them. They're just around. It's like you would think. I got rid of the water, I got rid of the food, and they cannot be flushed from my kitchen. The whole thing is infuriating and sickening. All right. Yes, yes, that's true, Scotty. Let's see. Well, here's what we've got. Somebody weighing in about Lisa Goddard's last name. That feels very last hour. A cocaine call. Somebody who's comparing meth and heroin. And then George from Wilsonville, who's managed to penetrate our defenses and is back on hold.
And don't forget, the horsefly is different than the housefly.
Now, are horseflies real, or is that just a term for an overly large housefly?
They are among the world's largest flies. They're often considered pests because of the painful bites they inflict.
And they're like the size of a dinner plate.
They are.
Massive.
No.
Okay.
So, yes, the best-known types of horseflies are the genius.
The genius?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They've been around since the 1700s.
What call should I take here? George, cocaine, heroin... or a wacky call about Lisa Goddard. Sarah?
Let's do the heroin and meth one.
All right. Yeah, in your face, George. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. My oldest son is one of Clackamas County's finest deputies.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me that meth is on the decline and heroin is on quite the rise.
Now, see, don't we hear that story every few years, though, that, like, today's kids have discovered a fast new thrill, blah, 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 heroin.
Let me tell you why. Have you seen those pictures of what happens to you when you use meth?
I have.
Yes.
Those kids don't want to look like that now.
Yeah, but...
it's bad for you.
I don't know. Are you being sarcastic?
No, this really is the reason.
Yeah,
they don't want to end up looking like those people in those pictures, and it does happen. I've seen pictures
of people that do that. We all know or have seen people who get that meth face going on, but do you suppose...
but that's why.
Do you suppose that's really a turnoff to kids? Because here's the only reason I ask that. Because it seems like that same kind of approach hasn't stopped kids from smoking. So I don't know why. I mean...
I don't think smoking covers you with red sores.
Oh,
no, that is true.
Some of those people, they age 20 years in about two.
Not unless you spill paint in the garage.
Yeah, that's real bad.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on those yellow jackets. Those little bastards are just flying around looking for trouble.
It's true.
They just need to be smashed.
Speaking of that, Al Gore the Third has just pled guilty to possessing marijuana and other drugs, but the judge told the former vice president's son he can withdraw that plea and have the charges dropped if he goes to a drug diversion program.
I hate that phrase, diversion program, because it totally is like diverting from actually having to do what all of us would have to do if we got busted with drugs.
And Britney Spears and Kevin Federline officially divorced today.
Really? That didn't happen like a year ago?
No.
Hmm.
Well, they keep bringing the story back.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, and here's the other thing. I don't mean to call that guy a liar. I'm just saying it just sounds a little fishy to me. I'm not saying he's bearing false witness against his neighbor, but like, drugs just make you smell bad, and they just make you, your personal hygiene goes to crap, and you lose your job, and you're covered in pustules, and, like, if that's not motivation enough, and plus, I don't see anybody saying, well, I was going to do methamphetamine, but it's going to make me ugly, I'll do heroin instead. It seems like it's two very different drugs on the spectrum. I could see somebody passing methamphetamine and just going to heroin, or not heroin, to cocaine.
Yes.
I can't see you wanting to do meth, but settling for heroin. It just seems like, you know. Rick, when I was a kid, I lost a tennis ball in one of the bushes in our yard. As I put my face right up next to the bush to get the ball back, 5 wasps simultaneously flew into my face and began stinging me. I had to go jump in the pool to get them off of me. To this day, he says, I can still hear the horrifying sound of the encroaching wasps and the awful buzzing sound ending in pain. Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
That sounds like something from an art gang comedy.
Yes. Now we're just getting nothing but heroin, meth, and cocaine calls. Attention advertisers, you too can reach this prime demographic. Here's Tim Riley.
News from Alabama. A new poll by the University of Southern Alabama finds a sizable majority of South Alabamans give the president a passing grade for handling the war in Iraq.
Yeah. Really?
Uh-huh.
So this is Alabama man and his constituents love the war in Iraq and the way it's going.
56% give Bush grades of excellent or good on the war.
Those are your people, Scotty.
That's the latest from Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the end of the story? I guess it really is nowhere to go from there.
No, there isn't.
People in Alabama love the war.
Yeah. They love all wars.
It's true.
Especially they're against people who aren't white.
I was going to say, especially the war of northern aggression.
Yeah.
God damn it. Fine.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Rick.
Yes?
Thank you for taking me off the ice floe. Friday I was looking for that point of view footage from the helicopter crash.
Yeah.
Instead, I got distracted by a point of view footage of a diving accident.
Oh, that is pretty great.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. How did they get point of view footage of a diving accident?
Well, the guy was diving the Blue Hole of Egypt, which is this huge sinkhole that's like, I don't know, 100 meters deep. And he had a camera strapped on him. And he was a master diving instructor and everything, so, you know, he was pretty confident.
Sure.
And he was out with a group. And you see from his footage, the group above him starts lifting off and he's sinking. And you hear him go, help, help. And over the next 3 minutes, he descends 265 feet against his will.
Wait, I'm so confused. I don't even know what's going on.
I'd rather take a methamphetamine call.
Oh.
All right, start at the beginning. He's got a camera on his head.
Right.
What is he jumping into?
The Blue Hole of Egypt, which is this diving spot where about 100 people have mysteriously died.
Or not so mysteriously. But he's jumping into the water?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he jumps into the water. What do you see?
You see the other group of divers around him.
Yeah.
And then he's looking up at the other group of divers.
Okay.
And when they're all above him and he's on the lower level, suddenly you hear him go, who? Because he has audio, too.
Right, but why is he sinking?
Yeah, and he starts sinking immediately thereafter.
Why is he sinking?
Something grabbed him.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that, you bastard.
You can look it up. Look up Google Uri Blue Hole Diving Accident. Uri as in the...
What do you mean something grabbed him?
Well, basically...
Like a Loch Ness monster.
What happens is he goes to the... He's kept alive the entire way down. You can see him looking down and the particles flowing up past him. And they're saying, the commentators, an Israeli program, and the Israeli commentators are saying, look, he's going down 30 feet in 1 second.
Let's not help him.
Yeah, and then... he gets to the bottom, and he's, like, in a panic.
Wait, hold on. Can you hold on a second?
Yes.
Okay, just a second. Hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, I found it. I don't know if I want to watch it,
though. No, wait. Hold on. Before we finish this call here, I have to...
And also, it ties into...
Hold on. Just hold your horses there, friend.
Just don't dump me.
Fine. Hold on. Just don't be so goddamn paranoid. Hold on a second. I
wonder why that would be.
Hey, okay, don't get lippy. Hold on a second. Hold on. Just stay right there. Don't move. You just, Tim sent me something we've got to use for this. Hold on. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, so, anyways, he's descending, and it turns black. First, it's all light blue around him. Then it gets blacker and blacker and blacker, and he's got only his diving light. Then he gets in the bottom, and he starts thrashing around, and you can't see what's got a hold of him, except in one frame, you see what looks like a mouse grabbing one of his arms.
Oh, no.
And then everything turns red. There's a big cloud of red all around him. And what that brings to mind is that, you know, you're going to Loch Ness, and I was wondering if the listeners raised enough cash, how much cash would it take you to take a one-man canoe or a one-man kayak to the center of Loch Ness and back while the lovely Lara films the event for verification?
All right. Is that the end of your call, sir?
No. I also wanted to mention that I once swallowed a live yellow jacket.
Bye now. All right, there you go. That's George. And
he says that it is a cloud of blood, but I'm reading about this, and it says that they believe he was overweighted.
Yeah.
That he had too much equipment on.
I think he's exaggerating there towards the end. All right. That news that the sound bed there is from Tim, who sent me several suspense beds, which we're going to be using. All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll break, and we'll talk more about Loch Ness. Here's Tim Riley.
All right. Let's do a snuff watch.
Oh, yeah. That's sad snuff. Here's a double snuff watch for Monday right here. The Rick Emerson Radio Program.
So we have two. The first is master filmmaker Ingmar Bergman, one of the greatest artists in cinema history. He died at his home on an island off the coast of Sweden at the age of 85. Dozens of works combine deep seriousness, imagery, and unexpected flashes of humor, and finely written, inventively shot explorations of difficult subjects such as plague and madness.
Yeah, this is Ingmar Bergman did The Seventh Seal, right? That's his masterwork?
That's his masterwork. Yeah. He never fully recovered from hip surgery in October of last year. So his movies run a lot on Turner Classic Movies. Now, our second one is Tom Snyder, probably one of the greatest TV people ever.
Yes, without doubt.
And he was so unusual, in fact, that they would only allow him on late-night television because he didn't fit in daytime TV. The Tomorrow Show was probably his most memorable show. That was on from 73 to 82. And then he came back to be on after David Letterman for a few years.
Now, do you have some Snyder audio?
I do. Let's see what I have here. This is when he's talking with Barbara Walters. This is from the Late Late Show. This is from the program that was on after Letterman. And he's talking to Barbara Walters about smoking pot at a swank party.
How great is that? And we're back.
I was at a party at the Shanks's many, many years ago that you were at with Howard Cosell, God love him, and Rune Arledge was there, and I think just a couple other ABC people. And a number of us, not you, because you had no idea that this was going on, but some of us in the room began to smoke cigarettes that were not manufactured by tobacco companies.
I would never have known.
I know you wouldn't have. Now, about a week later, I'm watching you on television, and there's a man there showing how people at home grow marijuana. And he said, now, Barbara, and he put it up on the desk, he says, this is a marijuana plant. And you said to him with a perfectly straight face, oh, is that what marijuana looks like? I've never seen it before.
That's a trademark Tom Snyder.
He's sitting in front of me doing it, putting it in your ear, smoking it. I wouldn't know. Does that make me sound awfully square?
Not at all. Hey, you're the hippest thing in television, kid. Don't let them tell you otherwise. In everything you do, have a great time, and you're always welcome here, and I love you from all my heart, and I'm going to cry and all that stuff, and thanks, pal.
So that's one of
so
the later
great.
Times.
Yeah. Just, and you were totally right. You said this during the break earlier, that he made smoking regular cigarettes look fantastic. He's one of the, and he just had a huge
cloud of smoke.
Totally, just sitting there in a chair, just enraptured, enveloped in a cloud of smoke, and he had that laugh that Dan Aykroyd made a whole career out of parodying that guy. He really was, and he's one of those guys who was a total creature of late night, mm-hmm. couldn't have functioned anywhere else. No. I don't even know if they put him anywhere. I don't even know if they ever tried to give him like a regular daytime show.
He did. The only thing outside of his show is that he was a news anchor. He began in Milwaukee. And then he went to Pittsburgh, New York. Then he went to L.A. because he was at KTLA in the 60s. And then he went to New York. So he had some news anchoring experience. So he did that, too, besides these talk shows.
And in a weird way, I mean, I'm going to sound morbid, but what did he die of? Was it cancer or something?
Leukemia.
Leukemia.
He was 71 years old.
In a way, because cancer will get us all. And I don't mean to sound morbid, but in a weird way, I guess it's appropriate, and I guess maybe it's just as well that he has passed on, because he is, Tom Snyder is and was totally a creature of a bygone era of television. I mean, he is a guy, and I don't think I'm saying that just because that is when he was famous. It's just his mannerisms and his style and the things he does, he was just not of this time.
Right.
He just couldn't really exist now. You know, he is like a very much of his era, because of the old, you know, a bridge between now and sort of the golden days of the 50s. You know, he was sort of that weird 60s, 70s bridge era, very much a late night, as you said, just a late night jazz kind of feel to his show. So
yeah, and he interviewed Johnny Rotten.
Yep.
Way back when, also Charles Manson.
I didn't know that, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And he was what? 71.
71.
He
Tom
seemed
Snyder.
A lot older than that.
Yeah.
One of the guys, he just seemed old forever.
He always looked old. Kind of like Steve Martin.
I was just gonna say Steve. We're all very simpatico today. We're all on the same page. I was just gonna say Steve Martin, one of those guys who was
got
born
married over the weekend.
Steve Martin did?
Yeah, he got married to his publicist.
Oh, please tell me how old she is.
Married to his publicist.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually something that Randy Travis does.
Yeah, Steve Martin. It says Steve Martin is 61, but I think he's a bit older.
Oh no, he was born like 50 years old.
Then I went to that Steve Martin play over the weekend. Well, that he wrote,
which
Dave Paul is in. It's Picasso at Le Pin Agile, which is playing at Arts Equity.
When did Steve Martin become like a serious writer? Because he wrote that Shop Girl book, which they then, I guess, made into a movie, which apparently was not very good. But Steve Martin's written like three serious novels, apparently, and then he's written this play. Was Dave Paul good?
Dave Paul is fantastic in this play.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound surprised, like I didn't think he was a good actor.
He's a great actor. He really is playing this part. He looks the part, you know, the artistic type of fellow with a walking stick. He plays the part of Segal. And, this is about Picasso.
So interesting.
That would be something that Dave Paul would be in.
He would
excel in.
And I only say this because I only know Dave Paul as being a radio news anchor.
Well, now he's on 910 like everybody else is, or has been.
I thought 910 was, I don't even know what the hell format that is. I thought it was Spanish now.
No, that's conservative talk now.
Really?
Yeah, and Dave Paul's a news guy there.
Shows no offense, Dave. That shows how large that station looms in the consciousness. I didn't even know what it was.
They throw us out, then they get somebody else we knew.
All right, and it's not Entercom doesn't know that.
That's some religious company.
some nutcase.
Yeah.
Okay.
But everybody's going to work. We don't fall.
No, it's true. No, they paid me enough. I'd go work there. Doesn't matter. You got to go where the money is. The great thing about Dave Paul, this is the thing that is both great and sort of dorky about him, and I mean that in the best way. He's just, Dave Paul, like many of us, is one of those guys that within a very certain narrowly defined niche functions perfectly, such as behind a microphone doing very straight news, and Dave Paul really... And I do mean this. I don't mean this as a knock on him. It's just, he is a great guy, and he's a great newscaster. But he is another one of those guys that is from a very tradition of a staid school of radio broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I always know, at least I suspect, that he was always a little embarrassed to be associated with this program, or with me, anyway, when he was working. He was on the same station with us, and I always thought that he sort of viewed us as kind of an embarrassment, sort of an obnoxious younger brother, like a black sheep sort of a thing.
There's Dave Paul playing his part. If you go to, we don't advertise another station.
No.
If you go, wait a minute, it's artsequity.org.
All right. So there you go. So there's Dave
Paul. Artsequity.org.
Dave
you can read
Paul
all about the play.
Sort of Portland Radio's own Tobias Fünke.
But that's a perfect role for him.
No, it is. You know, it's true. I can just... And you know this, and you know for a fact that after that night's performance of the play, that Dave and his friends sit around at a restaurant having drinks and talking about Chekhov, sitting there reading. Well, you know, totally, exactly. While somebody smokes a J out back in the alley, that they're sitting there talking about. Well, as I read in Handbook for the Practical Actor, the Stanislavski book, he believes that the method approach to your role, it's all kinds of those conversations happen in Dave Paul's world.
He's a gentleman playing a gentleman. Basically,
absolutely is. Doesn't he look like he ought to be standing on a like a plantation somewhere with a walking stick?
Uh-huh. He has a walking stick in this.
Does he?
Yeah, see?
Like a linen suit.
Look, if you see him sitting in the chair, he's holding
a
walking stick.
And Dave Paul's just a classy guy.
He really is.
So go see him in his play.
All right, it's 503-733. God, we're like half an hour behind. 503-7, what with all this death and Dave Paul and meth and so forth? It's 503-733-2970. back after this. Yes, Sarah?
Are we going to continue the snuff watch on the other side?
Oh, we're done with it.
Oh. Well. Nope. Oh. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come today. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. We will continue our quest for the second worst story in the history of the world. We'll have a religious nutcase watch, a corpse watch, and the top five slow dance songs of the 80s. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
So some of Hillary's letters from her college days have been published. Apparently she had some nerd friend from high school that she used to write to when she was in college. And here's one from 1969. It says here, quote, "I am sitting here at a stolen table in a pair of dirty denim bell-bottoms, a never-ironed work shirt, and a beautiful purple felt hat."
Sexy.
Let's see here. "I'm really tired of people slamming doors and screaming obscenities at poor old life," she says. "Describes the sound of chirping birds amid the soulless academia." And apparently she's going on vacation shortly after
that. I don't understand.
Well, she has a nerdy friend from high school, and she...
Who just saved all of her letters?
Yeah, there he is. He's bald and with big glasses.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he looks like Mr. Whipple.
Yeah, he does.
Picture that guy saying, "Don't squeeze the Charmin." That's totally who that guy is.
So they had a lot of long correspondence, and, yeah, she has the original handwriting to these letters. So they publish them in the New York Times.
It is weird to think that Bill Clinton, who apparently at that point, even then, kind of a dashing figure with the ladies, and you see her, don't get me wrong, I love Hillary Clinton in a lot of ways. I really do, just because she's so obnoxious and just because she's got huge brass ones. And so I kind of appreciate the fact that she's, you know, I mean, would you be surprised if at some point it was discovered that Hillary Clinton had a penis? I mean, really, it would just sort of be the logical conclusion to all of that. But I really do love her in a lot of ways, but it's hard. I don't mean for this to sound like a knock. I'm just saying.
Well, we are not of those times.
Of the 60s?
Yeah.
Are you
going back saying, well, she doesn't certainly look like somebody that Bill Clinton might like with those owl glasses
on? That's what I'm saying. She kind of looks like a sort of stumpy Gloria Steinem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With those huge Diane Keaton glasses and just like a big Paddington hat. You know? I mean, and it's hard to imagine Bill Clinton, who's just surrounded by bra-burning co-eds probably, just throwing their undergarments at him and just go, well, I want to marry you instead. It just, the whole thing is just sort of perplexing. I mean, God love her. Mm-hmm. And they have a whole... they have an arrangement that seems to work, and that is great for them, and I mean that sincerely, but it is, I mean, unless he just sort of knew himself well enough at that point to figure out he needed some kind of anchor, you know what I mean? And that might be it. You know, a lot of those guys who are just sort of...
she'd be good for him.
Well, he might have figured that out. I mean, that's a lot of those guys who know... Because he's sort of a freewheeling kind of guy, and I don't just mean with the ladies. I just mean he obviously is a guy who has, I don't, you know, because he is so politically gifted, and he is so charismatic, and has so much skill, and he has so many abilities, but at the same time, he doesn't seem to have a lot of control over his own compulsions.
He has a zest for living.
He does. One might call that. He has an exuberant way of taking a big bite out of the apple of life. So maybe he knew in his head that he needed to find some sort of governor on that. He needed to have a yang to weigh down his yin. And Hillary is that. So, anyway, God, you know, and in a way...
Maybe his yin is slowed down.
And I don't think that's... I don't think that's the case. Do you?
I don't know that for a fact. I haven't heard any stories as of late.
Can you imagine if he's back in the White House, how like a hawk the conservatives are going to be watching every woman who signs in at that White House gate at the front, just everybody who delivers a pizza, every woman who stops by to, like, you know, test carpet swatches or something. They're going to be keeping an eye on every single female he talks to. But people will sort of knock that. They'll say, well, it's obvious that the Clintons just have some sort of arrangement, that some sort of a, you know, almost like a work relationship that they've been. But in a way, I almost admire that. Mm-hmm. Like, if they figured out 40 years ago, I mean, if they were thinking that way four decades ago, they were laying the tracks for the future domination of the White House. I mean, you know, I almost admire that even more if they were thinking that far ahead. So good for them. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, and Dick Cheney had surgery for his new heart device, and the device was successfully replaced without complication. That's the thing for the Cheney camp.
His supply of children's blood had run out.
And while Mr. Cheney was on the operating table, George W. Bush was president, at least temporarily.
Well done. That's a great joke. Are you going to use that later?
I waited all week to use that.
Are you going
to? And all weekend.
Will that be appearing during the news this afternoon?
You betcha. Why waste a good line only once?
Fantastic. Wonderful.
So anyway, have you heard the latest about the Army? They're now offering $20,000. This is a promotion they call QS, or Quick Shipper. This is a bonus, a $20,000 bonus to new and prior service recruits joining, selecting any job, and shipping up for training within 30 days to go to Iraq. Yes, the QS means Quick Shipper, says Tom Foley of the Columbus Recruiting Battalion.
And Tom Foley?
That's what it says here, yep. Another Tom Foley. And $20,000, well, that's a lot of seed money for a new soldier answering the Army's call to duty. Yes, the Army is growing in size, and we simply need more recruits for training now. The $20,000 bonus is in addition to previous offers already in place, so if you have a previous coupon, use that one, too. And some of these bonuses could tally up to $40,000 if you enlist for 4 years or more. Who wouldn't want to spend 4 years or more in Iraq?
I was just going to say, who would possibly, at this point, be able to turn such an offer down? That offer practically sells itself.
Well, I was looking at some of the things you get when you get over there. You probably didn't
even... Typhus.
No. Some of the bonuses they have at Camp Victory, the PX near Baghdad. I have pictures of them here. They have a Popeye's chicken and biscuits, and they also sell big screen TVs.
Huh. Oh, that's wonderful.
Man. That's what you're fighting for.
Living in a metal trailer.
Jesus.
And Popeye's chicken and biscuits. I don't know how much they are.
You know, can I talk about Popeye's chicken and biscuits for just
you
a second?
You can, but I'm not going to listen.
No, I guess you are because.
Well, the show just ended.
You just got bitch slapped.
For the win. Kaboom. All right, well, never mind then. F that.
No, go right ahead.
No,
don't let me
just,
keep you from.
I was just.
Exercising your freedom of speech.
Pwned. I was just going to say that their biscuits are exemplary.
I've never eaten a Popeye's.
Popeye's?
Go to Iraq. They have several there.
I was just going to say, Sarah, if you'd like to sign up for 4 years in the military. We should get a military guy to come in. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to disrespect the military. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
all of that stuff. No, no, no. I'm just saying. I'm not down on the military, you know, as it's not for me. But the members of our family have gone to the military. We have lots of listeners in the military and, you know, whatever. So, I mean, some people make that choice. Some people don't. I'm just saying. It's like when I lived in Salt Lake, and occasionally I would have Mormon missionaries come in the studio and just sort of give me the pitch, you know, just so I could kind of hear what they had, hear what wares they were peddling. I really would like to have a recruiter just come in and just, and not in a way to be jerky about it, but just honestly to ask that guy, like, why in the name of Christ would someone say, send me to Iraq for 4 years? I can't wait. I mean, I just, and I'm not trying to be flip about it. I really just honestly
can't.
It'll
be good for you. Pat Sajak started out in Army Radio, and look what happened to him.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You know who else did? George Carlin. George Carlin started out in the military radio. Whatever. Anyway, now here's the thing about Popeye's chicken and biscuits. Their biscuits are wonderful. Really, some of the best biscuits in terms of like a fast food kind of thing, unless you're going to make them yourself. The thing about Popeye's chicken, though, is often it'll sound like a great idea. But you get I'll get like a piece and a half into that Popeye's chicken, and then it sort of turns on you a little bit. So at least
is it still alive?
It's not.
Oh, it's suddenly heavy.
No, the thing about that Popeye's chicken is it's incredibly filling, and you don't really realize that. And you sort of, at least me, I always overestimate the amount of Popeye's chicken that I'm going to be able to, you know, go out the five piece, please, with four biscuits, you know, just like as many biscuits as they'll give me. And the biscuit is great, and so I always weaken, and I always eat that first, and then I go into the actual chicken part of it. And you get a piece and a half in, and it's just like, you just Mr. Creosote. You're just full-on bloated. So, blah, 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 blah. All right, here's Tim Riley.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know. Well, let's fill this slack time with this guy. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. This guy, how can I help you?
Rick?
Hi.
Hey, this is Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I got a comment about your the military signing bonus. Part that they don't tell you is they usually give you like $2,000 or $3,000 up front. And the rest of it is payable after your tour.
Wait, let me understand this. The military is not telling you something up front when you sign up?
Oh, yeah, that's what they did to me.
Hard to believe, really. So this is, when did you sign up for the military, sir?
I signed up in 1991
All right.
in the Marine Corps.
Oh, and now was that pre or post Desert Storm?
That was during Desert Storm.
Now, okay.
Did they have Popeye's fried chicken back then?
Yes, did you get
I don't know.
Buy a plasma TV?
Getting injured in duty and not getting the rest of my bonus.
Well, wait, hold on. Now, is that now? Were you injured as part of your military duties?
Yes.
And so you let me understand this. In your case, at least, because you were actually injured in the line of duty, you did not get the rest of your money?
Nope, because I was discharged early.
Ooh.
Well, what kind of a
what kind of a military is this?
What kind of a click job is that? That makes no sense at all.
Well, I get money every month for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But
now, was your injury serious?
I blew out my knee.
Oh.
All right. Well, blew out is better than blown off, I suppose.
Well, true. They wanted to fuse it together. And that's when I told them that they were quacks and did not touch me.
Just like having a stilt on one leg. If I can ask this real quickly, when you say you get money every month, now is that like a disability thing, or is that a pension, or is it both, or what is that?
It's disability from the VA.
All right, okay. Now do you? And again, this is only only your experience, but in your experience, does the VA do they take pretty good care of you, or is it like an underfunded kind of thing where you kind of got to fight to get what you need?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Let's put it this way. If I want to see a doctor at the VA, I have to make an appointment 2 years in advance.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. All right. Oh, by the way, you're listening to KCMD Portland. All right. You know the weird thing?
Wow, they shrink wrap helicopters when they bring them back. Do you see this picture?
That's interesting.
Yeah, they shrink wrap them. That's because they don't want to bring back insects from foreign countries.
Oh, really?
Or parasites that'll ruin our crops. So they soak them down, and then they wrap the helicopters in shrink wrap.
Just looking at all of these Popeye's chicken emails I'm getting.
Oh, speaking of Popeye, the Max Fleischer cartoons come out this week.
I saw that on DVD.
And they're the best ones. The Max Fleischer ones are the best ones.
I'm not a big Popeye fan. I know that they're...
You'll like the original ones.
There are cartoons that I know I'm supposed to like as an American that I don't really care for. And Popeye, I don't really care for. You know what? The other cartoon I don't really care for. I don't really care for Woody Woodpecker. I know that I'm supposed to.
How about Casper, the friendly
ghost? No, I don't like Casper either. I don't know why that is. I read the Casper comic a lot when I was a kid. Hey, I saw part of that Portland Underground thing this weekend.
Oh, good.
I saw it. I got to tape the whole thing. I saw about 20 minutes of it when I was flipping by. It was very cool.
Yeah.
Boy, the Shanghai tunnels are terrifying. Yeah. I almost don't want to go down there now. The whole thing, it just seems...
No, you have to go down.
They're like, and this is the 10x10 room where they would pack 15 white slaves in and break their will psychologically.
Yeah, they have the piles of shoes down there. They have the cells with, like, the bars on them. And you can see the old, trap doors.
This is a great city. It really is.
It really is one of... This is where the sex slaves were kept. Had rats set upon them. Rick, Popeye's spicy chicken is the bomb, says this person. I get my order with extra hot sauce and extra honey. The deal is you dip it in the hot sauce, then in the honey. It's to die for. All right. Anyway, all right, what are we doing here? It's 503-733. Well, are we taking a break, Sarah? Or are we just rolling?
We need to take a break, but if you feel the flow, if you want
to
keep going.
Well, we've got all this news to get to with Tim, and we got Rachel McGrath coming up in a few minutes. Well, we might as well just continue. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
All righty, well, let's do that, shall we?
Yes.
Well, getting back to this song, they got along very well. That's how are we supposed to take a break here?
No.
Oh, okay. That's how President Bush characterized his first meeting with the new Prime Minister of Great Britain, Gordon Brown.
I would describe Gordon Brown as a principled man who really wants to get something done.
Okay, you know what?
He doesn't use Crest toothpaste.
I was just going to say, you know what he's doing right now? This is like when you have to do a book report on something in high school and you have not read the book. Mm-hmm. You forgot that the book report was due. I said, please tell us about A Tale of Two Cities. Tale of Two Cities is...
He didn't listen to a word he said, did he?
No. It's an important book that covers many people who have exciting adventures. And other things happen to guys. That's totally the tone of voice that Bush has there.
The president said before the meeting some people had questions about what might happen.
So everybody's wondering whether or not the Prime Minister and I were able to find common ground.
No one cares.
To get along, to have a meaningful discussion. And the answer is absolutely.
Okay. Done.
Yes, they got along well. Gordon Brown said terrorism is not a cause, but it is a crime against humanity. Well, nobody asked a question here. I don't know.
Afghanistan is the front line against terrorism. And as we have done twice in the last year, where there are more forces needed to back up the coalition and NATO effort, they have been provided by the United Kingdom.
You know, are you being served?
This guy's going to give us no comedy. That's the depressing thing about this Gordon Brown guy.
I guess that's what they want at this point.
It's like a half-deflated basketball. There's nothing I can do with this. There's nowhere I can go with any of these
sound bites. Seriously. Brown said the president is going to get the Middle East talks started again.
Our aim, as is the aim of the United States government, is threefold. Security for the Iraqi people, political reconciliation, and that the Iraqis have a stake in the future.
Yes, but what about these British troops everyone's talking about you withdrawing? There's no comment about that anywhere. Oh, things do need to get done somehow.
The difficulties include the getting political reconciliation within Iraq itself, moving forward the reconstruction, and the time it has taken to do so.
He's Christopher Hitchens. That's who he is.
Oh, that's who he sounds like.
He sounds just like Christopher Hitchens.
Prime Minister Hitchens.
The same, and that same, the difference is that Christopher Hitchens has, it's sort of, not ironic, but it is sort of a, I don't know. It's sort of a bait and switch delivery that Christopher Hitchens has because he sounds very proper and very reserved. But then he's saying something like, you know. But then Christopher Hitchens is over there. Jesus is stupid, you know. But he'll say it in this like really rich British baritone that just makes him sound absolutely absolutely dignified and wonderful. All right.
President Bush is the reason for al-Qaeda in Iraq. That's what New York Congressman Charlie Rangel tells CNN.
Charlie Rangel!
He adds that oil is the only reason why the U.S. started this war in the first place.
There was no weapons of mass destruction. There was no Osama bin Laden that was in Iraq that we know of. It had nothing to do with 9-1-1.
Do you ever, when you hear people who clearly have phlegm in their throat?
Like the woman with the drippy, watery voice, remember?
No.
From a few years ago where she was talking and it sounded like a steady stream of water.
Oh, yeah, with the saliva?
It was so gross.
Sometimes gross. I will hear people, Tim's actually scratching his throat. Sometimes I will hear people on the radio and they're, you know, and they've got the bad phlegmy. And you're kind of out there in the audience going, please, you know, please clear your throat. And Charles Rangel, I don't know if he's just got extra skin or something in his larynx area, or if he really honestly just had a bunch of milk for breakfast. You know, just let me drink this large thing of Nesquik, and then I'll give it. By the way, let me just say this: since we were just talking about radio people and weekend people, I would like to share this little fun fact that you all weren't privy to, that Tim revealed just recently during one of the breaks that his microphone this morning was covered with powdered sugar. His microphone that he uses every Monday through Friday was covered with what? Now, is this the kind of powdered sugar one might get from a whole package of Hostess donuts?
Yeah, those donuts.
And the best thing about, let's think about how the powdered sugar got into the microphone, shall we? So this microphone, have you ever considered, like, does it tempt you just, are you tempted just to, like, unplug that microphone and put it in your pocket and take it home with you sometimes?
Is that doable?
Well, it would be wrong for me to say.
I could remove these two screws.
I'm saying right there that there's that little screw thing at the top there and then the little plug.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying you should do that. But the idea that your microphone is covered with powdered sugar when you came in this morning indicates that, first of all, that the idea that someone who was using that microphone at the weekend, someone whose identity we can only speculate on, it consumed so much of their energy to do the radio program that they had to be constantly fortifying their caloric intake as they were. It's like every syllable took so much out of them that they had to constantly be shoving donuts into their mouth to keep that radio broadcasting energy going. Or just the idea that their whole face somehow became covered in powdered sugar and then the face was sort of rubbed vigorously. Yeah, the whole face was just sort of just rubbed vigorously against the microphone. And the difference between my microphone and yours, well, first of all, mine's not covered in powdered sugar.
That's true.
My microphone just has a metal windscreen on the front, where Tim's is sort of a spongy foam. It's like a...
It's better for donuts.
Exactly. So even if someone were to use my microphone, I don't think the powder would just fall away. The powder just sort of clings to Tim's. That's the good thing about it. Any sort of food particles or bits of skin, whatever it is that might come off of somebody's face, it's captured there like a fly in amber, just waiting for you to examine Monday morning. It really is sort of like some archaeological preserve.
I'm nostalgic for the good old days when people just came in and downloaded porno.
Fantastic.
Look, we have a guest.
Hey, let's we'll talk to Rachel McGrath here in just a moment. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Miles Around, airing live in the studio, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturdays, our good friend Dennis Pitzenberger. Hi, Dennis.
How are you? I was listening upstairs, earning my P1 status of the fine Rick Emerson Show, went Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 on this
would you
very
care to would you care to elaborate on which microphone it is that you use when you are in this room?
I use your microphone.
Okay. My microphone is spotless, by the way.
My microphone's clean, too.
Yeah.
Mine was not. Now, we're not saying that it has anything to do with you or your program.
Of course not.
I know. It seems that, this subject seems to come up over and over again.
That's because these things keep coming up over and over again.
Well, and I would have to say that in our show's defense, if it would have been like coated with Charleston chews,
or just chew in general. Really, it's just a matter of time till you come in and there's like a Copenhagen mini stuck to the front of that thing.
I think it's Skol actually that he chews.
The great thing is, it is like clockwork now. I come in the Monday morning and Tim has got those, like, it's like I expect him to see with those yellow cleaning gloves up to his elbows and a big thing of lye.
Now, are you saying the counter. There's powdered sugar on your microphone?
There was powdered sugar on my
there
microphone.
There was. So you have disposed of the evidence.
I have disposed of the evidence, yes.
Okay, I'm just saying. I just was listening upstairs. I thought I might chime in and say that, like I said, I know that what his diet, that would not be
who's
considered.
Who? I have no idea who you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm just going to leave that out of it. But
I didn't lay the blame on anybody.
I'm just saying, I know the only other person during the weekend that sits at Mr. Riley's chair. And
during your program.
During my program. Well,
so it's not you, because you're at Rick's microphone.
I'm at Rick's microphone. Though I am loud, I cannot use Tim's microphone.
And who's sitting over here in my microphone?
That would be James.
James Robinson,
very fine gentleman that's joined our program lately.
I'm sure there's dozens of people who sit in Tim's chair over the weekend.
Yes.
Could be anybody.
I only know one that eats a lot of Charleston chews.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See you tomorrow.
All right. 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We will rejoin Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, in just a moment. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. Hello, Rachel, and how are ye today?
I am very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic, is what I am.
Good.
Now, as we wade hip-deep into this, here's something you need to know. I don't really know anything about sports in general, and specifically, I know almost nothing about baseball, which is purportedly the American pastime. My knowledge of baseball could be fit inside the navel of a flea.
Probably know more than me, though. British. I have no clue.
But my fear, if we can now speak openly, my fear was going to be that I, born and bred here in the United States, know nothing about baseball, and that I was going to mention, and that you were going to turn out to be some sort of baseball savant, which would have been.
I could have played it clever, and I could have impressed you.
Oh no! If you had thrown out even the slightest bit of baseball knowledge, I would have folded like a cheaply constructed tent. It would have been doubly insulting because, again, not being from America, if you had schooled me on baseball, I would have had to go on back and incinerate myself. I couldn't have gone on. But here's the thing I do know. So Barry Bonds is what he is two home runs away from getting the record. He's one away from tying it. Is that right?
That's right.
And the general consensus, while this has not been proven, obviously, in a court of law, the general consensus is that he's just jam-packed full of steroids. I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying the general consensus, the conventional wisdom, is that he's just one big human petri dish, right?
Well, put it this way. When he ties the record and then when he breaks it, as everybody expects he will do, it's going to be a little clouded. He's going to do it under the shadow of the whole steroid scandal in baseball. And it's enough as well to make a lot of pundits reckon that he's not going to actually break the record in the next six games, which are away, of course. So he's got three games at the LA Dodgers and then after that three games in San Diego. If he happens to break the record playing in one of those games, it'll be shadowed by probably boos and jeers from the crowd. He's not popular outside of his hometown. So they're fully predicting that when he does get the record, it is going to be in San Francisco, where he will do it to cheers from the home team fans.
And is the baseball commissioner going to be there?
That I don't know.
Because I know that there was some talk that he would not be there because he didn't want to be seen as passively blessing this perhaps steroid-fueled run for the home run record.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a problem for the Dodgers and for San Diego as well, in that you know, what happens when if he hits a home run in the next six games and he equals a record? What do they do? Do they put it up on the scoreboard? Do they stop the game and have a little moment on the field there and celebrate? I mean, it's a bit of a conundrum for everybody involved about how actually to mark the record. So it's not simple. It's not like if it was just all being done and everybody was standing behind Barry Bonds and cheering and applauding and everybody think he was fantastic.
Let me ask you this question. As someone who was born and raised in the United Kingdom, do you view American sports as being largely inferior to your own?
Of course.
Excellent. And we're out. All right, Rachel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, fantastic. Rachel McGrath from CNN. I didn't blow it. That was excellent. Let's hear it for me. That's fantastic. And she didn't even hesitate. She didn't even hesitate when I asked her if she thought American sports were inferior. She just went right after it. Well done. It's a great day. Hi, Tim. Should we continue with the news?
Sure, why not?
How many visas have you had today?
Just one. But I've had many, many cups of coffee. Is it 1:15 already?
It's 1:13.
Jesus. It seems like it was. I was expecting it to be like about 12:30 right now.
Oh no, that's long gone.
You're a fool, Rick Emerson. All right, let's continue with this plethora of news.
The Milwaukee apartment complex where a 15-year-old girl was found strangled to death over the weekend has a history of calls to police for complaints ranging from domestic violence to theft. As a matter of fact, the cops have been to this apartment 54 times since January 1st. The complaints include domestic abuse, theft, fraud, child abuse, neglect, animal complaints. The apartment complex where Danny Countryman's body was found was the subject of an animal complaint on July 12th. The unit, which is described as a mess, is located next door to a unit occupied by the victim's sister and boyfriend. Danny Countryman was visiting her 20-year-old sister Ashley at the time she was killed. She is from a town outside of Dallas in Texas. She and her sister went to a party Friday night at the Balboa Apartments, and then the sisters went to sleep in different apartments for some reason. And the police are looking at a large pool of individuals, they say, at this apartment complex. But this happened in Milwaukee.
All right.
Other news. New York Congressman Anthony Weiner wants to put a stop to an arms deal. Get this. We are about to sell Saudi Arabia, which is the actual country in Iraq causing all this trouble.
Oh, yeah.
$20 billion worth of U.S. weapons to kill our own troops. Weiner said the Saudi government is too dubious to get American...
that's a polite word
for it. ...made military supplies.
A nation that sends New York 15 of 19 bombers on September 11th, provides 50% of all of the funding for terrorism around the world, and as much as $4 billion to Hamas, shouldn't get any U.S. taxpayer support, and certainly no weapons to continue their deeds.
They should actually get an A-bomb dropped on their country.
That is the opinion of CBS Radio Portland's news department, and the opinion of this program, by the way.
Seriously?
No, they're
sending their people to kill our troops.
I'm with you.
And we're sending them $20 billion worth of U.S. weapons.
I really am. No, I'm with you on that. They
is
are the worst
public
of the worst.
Stupid to know this? Yes, they are.
Well, and I'm so glad that this Anthony Weiner guy said something about it, because it was sort of like in, what is that movie, Gaslight?
Uh-huh.
Where she's doing that whole, tell me you just saw the lights lower. Because Tim and I are always bitching about how Saudi Arabia needs to be destroyed. And
over
yet,
and over again.
No, constantly. Tim and I are constantly on the air here saying, like, if we're gonna be nuking things, let's start with Saudi Arabia. Be fine with me. But it's almost like... I'm so glad we got some external validation, because I was starting to think that maybe Tim and I had just fallen into some alternate reality and we were the only ones who could see it. Mm-hmm. So at least we know we're not crazy. This is like in The Blob with Steve McQueen, where the sheriff, he goes, Sheriff, there's a blob and it's killing people. And the sheriff says, are you crazy, teenagers? You kids, get out of here. I mean, this is like the moment when the sheriff finally sees the blob and realizes that it exists. Because Saudi Arabia, they need to be gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. And can I just tell you, this is a little bit of a confluence here. We started today's program with a clip from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I very nearly, and the only reason I didn't is because it's kind of a buzzkill. The only reason I didn't is because it's really kind of a downer. I almost started today's program with a clip from The West Wing, where C.J. Craig, as played by the wonderful Allison Janney, does a whole screed against Saudi Arabia. I almost started with that. I might play it, actually, later. I might play it just for our own anti-Saudi Arabian amusement. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Remember Newt Gingrich? He's always trying to get himself back in the news. Now he says Democrats will likely nominate Hillary to the White House, and Barack Obama will be her running mate. He was speaking on Fox News Sunday. He also ruled out that John McCain is a possible contender on the GOP side.
Senator McCain is taking positions so deeply at odds with his party's base that I don't see how he can get the nomination.
No, and did you say that they fired all of his media people, or he quit? Yeah. All his media people
None of them are getting paid.
No.
Newt said the GOP will have to face a strong opponent.
Either Mayor Giuliani or Governor Romney or Senator Thompson would be a very formidable opponent for what I expect will be a Clinton-Obama ticket. I think that there's a possibility that'll work.
No. It's, you know, that Fred Thompson thing just scares me, though, because he's just tedious. He's just dull.
Yeah.
The Hillary Giuliani thing, you just can't top that in terms of sheer political spectacle, especially because he's just a big flaming liberal anyway. He pretends to be a conservative, but he's really not. So that'd be exciting. All right. So and then I guess in the poll right now, it's still none of the above leading the GOP contenders. But boy, damn, I just can't even contain my excitement about this sometimes. That's fantastic. Let's see, here's a Hillary Clinton email. Rick. Am I the only one that remembers the Clintons, quote, open relationship, end quote, being an issue in the lead-up to the 92 election? Or have I slipped into an altered dimension where that never happened? Sort of like when they put 8 Simple Rules on the air, and I wondered if I'd fallen into another dimension where John Ritter had not died. First of all, A, I think Ritter died in the middle of that show's run. It's off the air now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened. And secondly, I think he is fabricating this business. Yeah, I mean, you are in some alternate reality, sir. That I don't think that happened in our reality, that Clinton's business. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Okay, here's the best story of the day.
Really?
Yes.
That's a bold statement.
Mm-hmm.
Is it about wasps?
Nope.
Is it about a guy?
Well, she could be considered a wasp.
I walked right into that one. Thank you. Thanks. Tim Riley.
Paris Hilton has lost $60 million.
Feel that.
This after her billionaire grandfather, appalled by her jail term for drunk driving offenses, axed her inheritance.
Can I ax you some money?
Family patriarch Baron Hilton, that's his real name, was already embarrassed by his granddaughter's wild behavior, notably when her home sex video was leaked on the internet by accident. But now the 79-year-old considered her 23-day sentence last month to be the last straw. He was and is extremely embarrassed how the Hilton name can be sullied by Paris. And he now doesn't want to leave unearned wealth to his family. Hilton Sr. is the only member of the family left with a sizable stake in the huge hotel chain. Has let it be known that he intends to donate the $2.4 billion he will gain from this month's sale of the company to a private equity firm, Blackstone. The money will go to the Conrad and Hilton Foundation, a charity set up in the name of the founder of the family business.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic.
Take that.
As I said at the top of the show.
And you can't take that back, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess he could, but I mean, imagine just waking up and realizing you have $60 million less than you had when you went to bed.
So she's no longer an heiress.
Well, maybe not. I mean, her parents must have money, right? I mean, her parents could still leave her money when they die. I guess it's just from the grandfather. So I don't really know how that stuff works. But I mean, I guess he could reverse it, but apparently, if the article is to be believed, apparently her parents don't have a stake in the hotel chain. Like, that skipped a generation. Apparently he has a stake in the hotel chain. Well, that raises the question of where her parents get their money from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they have other businesses? I don't really know how the Hilton family operates. So, I imagine she would be considered rich even on her own because she has television deals and clothing deals or whatever. But I mean, obviously, but this has got to represent the bulk of what she would have had. So that's fantastic. That's wonderful. You know, I don't care what else is going wrong with the day. That'll put a big smile on your face.
Well, you should know that Lindsay Lohan's movie opened at number 9, making only $3.4 million.
Let me just say this. Here's why I'm going to see it. Let me tell you why I'm going
to
see it.
Oh, I'm totally going to see it. You want to see it together? Nobody else wants to see it with me.
No, because I read an article.
Nobody wants to see it anyway.
I read an article in The Hollywood Reporter calling it the worst film of the year.
I know. It's already a contender.
They were like, The Hollywood Reporter said something like, I
come
forget.
See, the worst film of the year.
That, Experience the worst film of the year.
Please
again.
Turn off your cell phone.
They said, what did they say? They said something like, you know, that like, next week there could be a film, you know, that was just like a static shot of a toilet for 2 hours, and it would not be as bad as the Lindsay Lohan film. And that's exactly the way to get me to see something. They said that it doesn't matter what else comes out in 2007, that that Lindsay Lohan film is the worst thing of 2007, and I will totally see it. That's enough to get me there. I mean, just the same way that that's enough, you know, just like that's why I saw Swept Away or whatever that Madonna film was, because it was just so relentlessly bad. How could I not? So yeah, I'll absolutely go. I'll wait till it's at like, you know, whatever, some like Laurelhurst Theater or something, and then I'll totally see it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, are you going to be taking George up on that Loch Ness monster bet? Oh, we didn't have time to talk about that. Here's the thing. So, Laura, because we are probably, when we go to England, we're probably going to spend, because I guess it's like a train trip or maybe a plane trip, depending on how much you're willing to spend, to Scotland.
Take the train, it's more fun.
Oh, can I tell you this? Here's a great quote from this weekend. I wrote down just a bunch of quotes that happened over this weekend. I already said the one about, hey, look, it's a Dale Earnhardt touch lamp. Here's another quote from my wife, apropos of nothing. My wife said this weekend. I brush my teeth sometimes. I don't even remember what context she said that, but I immediately scrambled to my like steno pad. I'm like, hold on! And I like wrote it down. I don't know why she said that. I brush my teeth sometimes.
Lara has very nice teeth.
Well, they ought to be nice. She does brush them sometimes. No, this is the other. So we're in bed and we're reading, and I'm reading whatever, you know, my book. And then she's looking at this, like a Rick Steves travel guide or whatever.
I love Rick Steves.
She, you know, chicks dig him. I don't know what the hell it is. There's girls love Rick Steves.
Because he's just a bundle of energy and very informative and knowledgeable. And he talks about places that you can actually go visit that you can save money at.
You can download his podcast on your iPod.
Oh, you don't have one.
I do not.
I love the fact that even the little helping observations by Tim are just studded with thorns. So you know what Rick Steves reminds me of is what's his name, David Krause, that guy who does our Google domination map.
Uh-huh.
Totally reminds me of that guy.
Yeah.
So Lara's thumbing through her Rick Steves book, and I was asking a question about, well, how long would it take to get to Loch Ness? And she, again, couldn't find Scotland on the map. And so she and she's like turning from page to page. And it was a whole embarrassing rerun of the other day when we couldn't find Scotland. And so she actually said this. I wrote this. And she says, now, is Scotland really a country? And then she said, maybe it's just, you know, more of an area. End quote. So there you go. I think she eventually was able to locate it, but there was about 10 minutes where she was convinced that Scotland wasn't really a country because she couldn't find it on the map. Now, to be fair, on a lot of the maps we've looked at, they don't show Scotland. Because Scotland is, what is it, it's on the same island as Britain? Is that the deal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but see, but they don't show it sometimes. Like the
They're
map,
lazy.
The map in the Rick Steves book doesn't show it. It just says England. And then there's, like, this other area up there, and that's why she said maybe it's not really...
There's another area up there? God, you're...
There was no label.
I'm so frustrated with you.
It didn't
you get
say
this
Scotland.
Opportunity of a lifetime, and you're just like... Oh,
things will be different
when
he comes back.
I'm not saying I don't want to go. I'm pointing out the map didn't say Scotland. There was England, and then there was literally an area of a different color with no label on it. Like, it was completely unlabeled.
Well, they figured that most people would know that that is Scotland.
They don't even bother to label because it's so obvious. If you don't know, you don't deserve to know. It's like that. It's like that IBM PC that came out in the 80s where the keys were unlabeled. People probably don't remember that, but one of the first IBM PCs to come in the market back when they were still using the Charlie Chaplin tramp for their advertising, they put out a PC. It was called the IBM PC Junior, and the keyboard was completely unlabeled. There were no characters on any of the keys. All they would do, the only concession they would make, is they would sell you a little chart that, like, you hung on the wall to look at in case you wonder where the keys were. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. Let's sell them a keyboard with no labels on it. And this was back in the 80s when you couldn't just go to the store and buy another keyboard. You bought the computer, you took it out, totally unlabeled keyboard. Because they figured everybody just knew how to type. So, there you go. Scotland. Not so much a country, more of an area.
Well, it's like when you cross the interstate bridge, you're obviously in Vancouver. You needn't be told. It's quite obvious to you that you're not now in another country.
Keep in mind, by the way, this isn't me that was doing this. This was my wife who went to college, who in fact has like 3 different degrees. She's the one who couldn't find Scotland and who surmised that it perhaps was not a country at all, but more of an area. So there you go.
You have to bring a video camera and record you two bumbling around. Well, not Lara so much, but you bumbling around.
No, she'll get there and she'll master it immediately. Yeah. Again, she's like the full-on matrix
thing. Well, she's traveled a bunch, hasn't she?
She has, like way more than myself. Like she's gone to a whole bunch of different places around the world, and I just never have. I just, you know me.
It's your turn to do so.
It's me to. I'm totally but by starting by going, and I don't mean to knock England, but I feel like by making my first sojourn out of the country, because I've never been to Canada. I managed to get out of that. I was supposed to go to Canada for Christmas, and I managed to skirt that trap,
it's a less violent America.
By starting out by going to England, I do feel like I'm starting my I'm starting with training wheels on, sort of. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. You're starting, and then as soon as you travel to one place, you're going to be horribly addicted. Just please try and make it the weekend of September 14th because I got excited and already bought my ticket.
I know. Well, that's the other thing is I haven't actually got my tickets yet. I told Sarah during a break, I think I'm going on the week of the 14th or the 21st. She's like, okay, bam! And then 2 minutes later, Sarah had already purchased her own tickets to travel. So now it's like I have to travel then because Sarah's already bought her tickets.
Yep. And it was a really good deal. I'm very excited. I'm flying JetBlue for the first time, too, so we'll see.
Back to the issue of Loch Ness, though. So Scotland, which is kind of an area somewhere over there in the United Kingdom.
It's an area.
Is that why they call it the United Kingdom, because it contains other countries or areas?
Yes, it is a kingdom united by the Queen.
That was a completely circular definition.
No, it is true.
But, no, Lara asked me if when we go to Loch Ness, which... And people have told me, they said, hey, look, once you get to Loch Ness, it's not really that exciting. It's really just a big lake and, whatever. And you get your picture taken with, like, a cardboard cutout of the plesiosaur or whatever. And I totally understand that. That, to me, though, is one of those things where I feel like I have to go just as, like, I don't want to say closure. But, just because, especially as a kid, I was so obsessed with the Loch Ness Monster. I feel like I got to go just to see it in person, just so I can, I hate to use this phrase, but just like a been there and have seen it kind of a thing. And so I feel like I have to go there just so I can sort of close that out in my mind and sort of close that box. Like, okay, I've been to the Loch Ness and whatever. But Lara asked me if I would be willing to go out on Loch Ness. Because they have these, like, boat things where you can not... I don't mean boat things like the boat, but like these little sojourns, like these little...
With the glass bottom?
Trips. Oh. Probably not that. I don't think it's glass bottom boat because I don't think there's anything to see. It's a little dark and sludgy. I don't know.
Well, probably, but I mean, imagine the kitchen factor.
There's always a slim chance.
Well, she asked me, she's like, would you be willing to go out on Loch Ness because they have these trips you can take out and you can, I guess you can choose the time of day you go out. And she's like, they have these boat things that'll take you out onto Loch Ness, like at dusk. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that I could do it. I really
totally
don't. Because you, and here's the thing is, that I'd be the guy that the monster shows himself to. It wouldn't be Clyde.
You're going to be ranting, raving, crazy man.
Sure, I saw it. It was real. This man swears he saw something.
You know that you would regret it for the rest of your life if you didn't do that.
And there'd be me with like some banjo music playing underneath me. He's like, I saw a many-humped creature come out of the water. It wouldn't show itself to Clyde. Clyde would go there and just be attacked by mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. I will go there, and the monster will swamp my boat and take a bite out of my leg. And then no one will ever believe me. And I will swear, and I will become one of those crazy people that hangs out at the Ross Island grocery with Clyde, insisting that I was attacked by a plesiosaur, and no one will believe me. So I just don't know if I could do it, though. I think I might need to go out on Loch Ness in a sizable boat. I don't think I could go out on, like some small raft or something. There's just no... I would be terrified. I mean, just... Look, well, I'm just going to... I will be honest with you. Can I just tell you this? Just thinking about going out on Loch Ness in a small... I don't want to say canoe, but you know what I mean? Like a small...
Like a rowboat?
Like a skiff or something or whatever. You know, like a rowboat. The idea of going out on Loch Ness in a rowboat, just terrified. Even now, I'm getting...
Are you afraid,
like,
all of a sudden the head will come popping out of the water and knock you out of the boat? And
it's just... Or just even... Even I mean...
Or show its teeth as it's roaring.
Oh, see? It's the... Can I just tell you...
It devours the people in front of you. And choose the boat in half.
As it kills my companions one by one, saving me for the last. I'll never put on a life jacket again. Speaking of which, did anybody watch Ocean of Fear this weekend?
No.
Okay. Yeah, never mind. Just going to try to relate to you guys.
All right, we are...
I don't even know who you are anymore!
I'm forcing a break. We are an hour behind.
What? Really?
We haven't taken a break in over an hour.
I got all this talking to do.
Why don't you go get another cup of coffee?
Fantastic. Back after this, more of Tim Riley, Clyde Lewis, and the top 580s slow dance songs. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. All this stuff to get to. All right. We have a corpse watch still to get to. Peter Carlin will be joining us at 2 o'clock. We have today's top five. Top five 80s slow dance songs. Let's see. What else do we have? Dun, 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 dun. I have today's high concept discussion. What else do we have? Our hunt for the second worst story ever. More of Tim Riley. I have no idea what we're doing now. Tim, have ye more news for us?
Yes, I have plenty.
Fantastic. Let's dive right in, shall we?
The Atlanta businessman who allegedly shot and killed two of his employees was pushed to the edge by financial stress. According to police, the victims had asked the boss for a raise. Bad move.
There's some stress. Can I have a raise? I'm going to kill everyone!
And that's what happened.
Okay.
Guess what? Nicole Richie has to pay for her own jail time.
Mm-hmm.
She'll have to pay for her time behind bars out of her own pocket. Now Los Angeles officials have confirmed that the terms of her sentence mean Richie will have to pay for her own jail time, which she must complete by the 20th of September. Let's see, she has to pay a fine of over $2,000. It doesn't say how much it costs to stay in jail every day in Los Angeles. A Fox 4 News helicopter, this is from Dallas, was forced to make an emergency landing in a wooded area south of the interstate early this morning. A Fox reporter and the pilot were aboard. The chopper experienced engine failure and was forced to land. And get this, I was watching it on this Fox 4 website in Dallas, and they were actually showing the picture of the chopper going down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just so, creepy.
Anyway, the woman aboard was hurt. The pilot was not.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the five local television stations in Phoenix all grounded their copters today. This after those two local news helicopters left four people dead Friday. Helicopter pilot Doug Butler said a car crash is the most intensive part of the job.
A car chase tends to focus you all in the same direction at the same time while you're moving along with the chase. Pilots got to be looking outside with all eyes open and ears and maintaining separation from the other aircraft, keeping in communication with them. It's a really challenging thing to do.
Now, did you watch that footage from inside?
I watched quite a bit of it.
The point of view footage? It's just so unbelievable. Unbelievably disturbing.
Oh.
I mean, it really is creepy.
Well, the bad part is, you know, radio cuts back on the amount of people they have, and so do TV. So now a lot of these guys, not only are they expected to fly, they're expected to get camera shots.
Right, right.
And how can you do both, really?
Yeah, no, and that's, well, and Scotty is saying on the screen, why don't you ban car chases, but, you know, filming car chases. But, this is not going to happen because the television has got to be, I mean, like I was talking about this, like in California, it's, I mean, that's like the single highest rated thing on television.
Remember the time the guy was shot in the head during the cartoons in the afternoon?
Oh, I do remember that.
It was on
KCAL
a few years ago.
Yeah, and the children watching everywhere, and the guy gets his brains
spattered. We interrupt Rocky and Bullwinkle for this shot from the LAPD.
See a guy shot in the face. All right, before we do anything, let's...
Daddy J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Indeed.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth?
Please, Scotty.
Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Every time he says that, by the way, I think of Peyton Plates because that was written by Grace Metolius. Hi, Scotty J.
Hey, we got the new Teeny Others chair back. Was it being reupholstered or something?
Where?
Right here.
Was it gone?
It's been gone for a week.
Are you sure?
I couldn't even find it anywhere down here. I looked everywhere.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It just mysteriously showed up again.
So would you like news for donut eating?
Would you? I don't think that stool.
What's this powdery stuff on this chair? Just kidding.
Hostess Donuts.
That was an attempt to try to be funny.
See, what have we told you about that?
Don't ever do
that. Thank you. Yes. Would you like to share everybody with now your moral outrage over this helicopter footage being shown?
I have moral outrage over about 50 stories you said today.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes?
But anyways, If these guys are having a hard time chasing after cars while they're in helicopters, then maybe they should just stop doing it, and then they won't hit each other. You know, how many times...
I'm sure they appreciate your advice. I'm sure this hasn't occurred to anybody down there.
Well, how many times have these helicopter crashes happened?
They don't fly into each other. Yeah. That, well, I mean, this is, and just to recap something we were talking about on the 11 o'clock hour on Friday, when this happened... The first thing Tim and I said was, well, how long until this shows up on the news? And you were just, you were strident. You were just, you swore up and down that they would never show this helicopter footage.
Well, it just makes me hate people sometimes because I can't believe that they would actually stoop that low.
Well,
we don't need to see it.
But what, we don't need to see anything that's on television. So what? I mean... Seriously,
well, true,
I have lost track of the number of car accidents, car chases, people being shot, people being impaled, things being set on fire, things being blown up. I mean, why is that any different?
The reality, well, here's what I think. I watched a little
you
bit.
You do realize, by the way, that if you're ever killed on camera, we will show that and air that repeatedly.
I know, and you guys are sick because of it.
No, I would, seriously, I'm telling you, have you ever listened to this program?
No.
I'm telling you right now that if one of us is ever killed on the air, like Sarah's downtown reporting on something, Tim is at some sort of gathering at Pioneer Courthouse Square, and he's savagely killed on the microphone, we will replay that endlessly in one of those. If you haven't heard the Rick Emerson show lately, you haven't heard, and then it'll just be Tim screaming as a mob crushes him, and then we'll go back to Lycus or something. So.
Well, that's where we're different out in suburbia, because I probably wouldn't even be able to talk if one of you died. So
yes.
That's just my point of view.
Uh-huh. All right,
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyways,
what else do you
I don't know. You guys were talking about 20 different things today. And
I've just been sitting
back there banging on the table because there's a million things that outrage me. I think I said one nasty word back up.
The most famous helicopter pilot to lose his life. Now, he was flying for a television station, and he crashed. Any idea who that might have been and when it happened?
I don't know, because when you said the most famous helicopter, blah, 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 I immediately thought of Vic Morrow, but no, I don't know.
Well, he wasn't a pilot. He was under...
Right, yeah.
Anybody remember Francis Gary Powers?
No.
He was the American pilot who was shot down in the U-2 plane in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's right.
After he came back to America, he was the chopper pilot for KNBC in Los Angeles. And his helicopter went down in 1977 due to a malfunctioning fuel gauge.
That's even worse.
Malfunctioning fuel gauge, which, by the way, is the same thing that that killed Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mm-hmm. That's where they ran out of gas. I mean, what a retarded
John
way.
John Denver. Well, that was a plane.
Is that? No, but that's because he went on a plane like he built in his garage.
Yeah.
Don't fly a homemade airplane. Seriously, you're not, unless your name is Orville, you don't want to be flying some experimental crap you've built in your
garage.
Especially
over the ocean.
What an embarrassing way to die, though. Your plane just runs out of gas. Do we need to top off the plane? No, we're fine. Get in. So
that's the scary thing, too, when you're flying overseas, because you realize that you're going over this huge span of ocean.
See, this is how it's starting.
He's taking off, right?
You're over the water for 3 hours.
So you can't land in Greenland.
He's taking off in his experimental jet. You fill up my senses.
Scotty, are you trying to be? Okay, that's funny. That a little bit. That's almost approaching.
It's really bad.
That's almost
I love John Denver.
That's almost funny. Wasn't flying a jet though. No, that thing when you're flying over the ocean, the thing of, you know, in the event of a water land, there is no water landing. There is you crashing into the ocean and having your entrails eaten by you know, like manatees. That's it. There's nothing. All right, Scotty, real quickly, what else do you have moral outrage?
Well, that guy that sounded like he needed to clear his throat.
Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
Charlie Rangel.
What a ridiculous thing to say.
I don't even...
You have forced the...
I don't remember what he was talking about.
You have
about.
Forced the... You know, the...
Yes, Scotty, I share your outrage over whatever it is you're unable to describe.
So much news has happened today, but he was talking about how the war has been forced into Iraq. Now, well, duh. I think that was a plan all along, so we could get everybody in one area and nuke them.
Let me understand this.
We want Saudi Arabia nuked, Scotty.
Your assessment of his thoughts is duh.
Yeah, the guy is an idiot.
Which one?
I might sound like an idiot, Charlie Rangel, or whatever. I might sound like an idiot.
Or whatever.
Whatever his name is. Charlie. Charlie.
Please
that
just
guy.
Spell Rangel.
R-A-N-G-L.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Scotty.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. There's Scotty J. morally outraged about Something or other. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, dude, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, well, I know why women love Rick Steves.
Yes.
Well, he's a gay Canadian pot smoker. The first straight woman as a man could get.
Now, is that true? I didn't know he was Canadian.
Oh, yeah, he is, actually.
I wouldn't
have
been watching him all these times if I'd known he was a Canadian.
Oh, jeez.
It's funny how the Canadians look just like us sometimes, don't they, sir?
Yeah. Well, I know that he was a big proponent for marijuana legalization.
It's because they're heathens in Canada.
Well, no, it's just, no.
Here's the thing about Rick Steves is that, and I've watched, because I kind of watch travel programs sometimes, even though I don't really travel. It's sort of ironic.
I love watching the Travel Channel.
He's just,
oh, me too.
He makes things that would normally seem terrifying to an ugly American such as myself seem really sort of palatable and sort of unthreatening.
And things that would you might deem to be boring, like really interesting.
Yeah, that is true. And that's the other thing, is he makes me feel okay about finding this sort of commonplace in another country to be, you know, finding it sort of interesting. Like he sort of gives you a pass. He sort of makes it all right to enjoy or not enjoy certain things. So,
well, he's definitely, I mean, he seems like a cool guy to hang out with and drink a beer.
Yeah.
You know? And he definitely enjoys, you know, the simple things in life. I mean, yeah, I mean, you can't knock it. He has a great travel show. And, I mean, my ex-mother-in-law has his whole, like, DVD collection and stuff. I mean, yeah, I know a lot of women that love his show. So,
all right.
Yep. There you go.
Thank you, sir.
And good day.
Final observation, then we're going to break. Aaron says, Scotty's joke would have almost been funny had John Denver not hit a mountain. You know, not the ocean. All right, there you go. Thank you. There's some joke about Rocky Mountain too low. I love John Denver.
I remember my mom was hysterical when she found out that he died.
Hysterical, like,
no,
laughing?
No, she's upset.
I know.
I'm going to throw something at you.
No, I love John Denver. Look, Tim, do you like John Denver?
Absolutely. He is American.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't like John Denver, you can get the hell out of my America. You know, Ed Anders, not a rat, I should take it. No.
Oh, what's it called? Rocky Mountain. I think it's called, like, Rocky Mountain High or something. Heartbreaking.
Oh, he's...
And not even the part where he dies, like, his life, the way he lived it, and, like,
yeah,
the people around him, how they treated him. It was, oh.
I love John Denver. Everybody who is a right-thinking American loves John Denver. We should do that someday at the top. Top five people you have to love as an American. And this, I'm looking at you, you Brits who live out there. Within the sound of my... You people there who are trying to assimilate into this culture. Get yourself a John Denver box set right now.
I have so many John Denver records. So many.
We ought to do, like, a top five records they have to give you at Ellis Island or whatever it is you come through now. Like, albums you need to be issued at the border. Somebody name another one now. When you come to America, you need to be given a record by...
I would say
Otis Redding.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel. Well spotted. Tim?
Starline Vocal Band.
And we're out. All right. Back after this. Coming up, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. More from Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. And the top 580 slow dance songs. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Still to come, more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth and the top 580s slow dance songs as compiled by me, Rick Emerson. Like it's at 3, Donna Mike at 7. In just a skosh, as our Asian friends say, we'll talk to Peter Carlin. Sarah, would you like to share with everybody what happened during the commercial break?
Seamus, I love you. Okay, remember last week when we were talking about Sky Mall?
And yes,
how I was saying that my favorite thing in the world was the hot dog cooker.
So on Friday, we had this guy, Leo, who's a visitor of ours in Colorado, and he was passing through town, came, and we always like to meet people who listen to us in far-flung places. So we get, like, servicemen and so forth that listen to us overseas, and this guy's from Colorado, blah, 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 comes through here, brings me a Mad Magazine, he brings Randy Dardals from Vizo, and then he brought Tim and Sarah Sky Mall catalogs because they love the Sky Mall. And so you started rhapsodizing on Friday, keep in mind, this is Friday, about what is it called, the hot dog?
The hot diggity dogger.
And it's like a toaster that toasts hot dogs.
It has two holes in the middle of it and then like half moons on either side to cook the buns.
Uh-huh.
And Seamus bought me a hot diggity dogger.
And this is...
I've wanted one my entire life. Cause it's
and that's like brand new.
It's brand new.
This is the way to Sarah's heart, by the way, is you buy her something
Thank
that
you.
Cooks hot dogs.
I know. Well, I eat hot dogs constantly.
No, I'm not making so fun. Much. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not being a.
Oh,
I'm not
I know.
Being wacky about it. I think it's great.
So I think I'm going to have a hot dog party this weekend.
Fantastic. That's no. Yeah, look, I am on my second George Foreman grill. I don't poke fun at any of those things. So that's fantastic. So we opened the door during the break, and it was a big box out in the hallway. And Sarah opens it, and it was from Seamus. Just sent her like a big hot dog. What is it? A hot diggity dogger?
Hot diggity dogger.
That's wonderful. I love this country.
Thank you, Seamus.
Yeah, in your face.
Oh, and that's yeah, that's an ironic gift that will be put to use all the time by me.
I love stuff like that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Speaking of which, so you're going to be doing a hot dog party. You know, Laura and I are putting together this whole thing. We want to do a pizza potluck sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do some sort of gathering this summer, and it's a pizza potluck where everybody brings a small pizza from the non-chain restaurant of their choice and a six-pack of their choice. And we have one huge table that is nothing but various varieties of pizza and one table that's nothing but various varieties of beer.
Ooh.
I've never heard of that being done anywhere, and we're like pizza fanatics. So that'll be sometime in August we're going to be doing that.
Okay, cool.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program with a heart full of hate and a head full of gingerbread. It's our good friend Peter Carlin. Hello,
hey.
Sir. Hi. How's life, my friend?
Oh, wow. I'm in a bad mood.
Are you? Fantastic. Are you back in Portland? You still in Los Angeles?
I'm in Portland.
Can I ask about the reason for your bad mood?
Well, some of it's just institutional within me, and some of it is a larger institution that I'm, I don't know. No, you can't ask.
Does this institution that you're referring to also control the weather? Because if so, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you never know, man. The last time we spoke, you told me I was drunk.
I didn't say you were drunk. I said you sounded as though you were drunk. And by the way, there are many people who concurred with me on that assessment.
Well, I don't even know what to say. I was just sitting there minding my own business and being so stone cold sober.
or stoned, anyway.
High fives.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're in a bad mood. Is there anything I can do to cheer you up? Is there anything I can do to lighten your load, lift your spirit, put a spring in your step?
Not even.
Well, it's going to be a great segment, I can already tell. Hey, well, that's fine. You know what? The great thing about the Rick Emerson program is we don't ask you to be anything other than what you are. You can be as pissy as you like here, sir.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's true.
That's why I keep coming back.
Let's talk about Mad Men for a second.
Oh, what a great show.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it much last time with your drunkenness.
You listen to me.
The Mad Men is, I'm not going to say it's perfect, but I mean, it's really good.
Yep.
There are some things about it that I don't particularly care for, but I suspect that they'll burn off. I suspect they'll get past some of those things. The only real small critique, the only small criticism I can make of Mad Men, which is on AMC, which is a fantastic program, they do a few too many of those comments that are sort of retrospectively ironic. Like when they will refer to the non-existence of devices that we now take for granted, like when the guy is talking about, you know, well, unless you've got some magical device that makes perfect copies of pieces of paper, and you know, and it's sort of funny now because we've got the photocopier. Apart from that, it's a really well done show. I keep going on about this like some sort of swishy interior designer, but the color scheme on that show is wonderful. I mean, it's beautiful. It feels like the 60s. It really does, to whatever extent I have any idea what that actually looks like. Let me ask you this.
Mm.
About that show, Mad Men,
yes.
do you think, and this is not about the show itself, but really, I guess, just about that time and the depiction of it. I was having this discussion with my wife last night. Do you think that the sexism on that show is overstated, or do you suspect, I mean, do you think it could possibly have actually been like that in 1960? Do you suppose that omnipresent?
That's my understanding.
I don't really know. I mean, I don't really have anybody to ask about that. It is just a relentlessly creepy show in that way, because one of the recurring themes in that program is how women in the workplace just had no defense, no real rights. They had no freedom from that. There was no human resources department, no Anita Hill. And so basically, if you were a woman, you were just kind of there to be leered at and pawed at.
Yeah, things worked out really well for Anita Hill, didn't they?
Yeah, yes, they
did. Wasn't that just swell?
Yeah.
She really, you know, justice was served in that instance.
I'm just saying, you know, Scotty tried to put up some poster of a woman with large bosoms in his work area here, and
you burst into tears.
Yeah, he was. I told him I felt raped. I felt violated. I felt like he had assaulted me mentally. But he had to put, you know, I said, no, you're going to have to cover part of that up, you know. And so he like went to, but you know, you watch that Mad Men show, and it just it just seems, first of all, that girl who is the main secretary, she is just, I mean, she's great at just conveying that horrible, weird discomfort, of just being in that position with a bunch of white-collar guys that just want to sit and, like, leer at you all day long.
Yep. It's true. It's great.
This is turning out to be the best Peter Carlin segment ever.
No, what do you want me to say? I totally agree. It's perfectly great. And what I also love in subsequent episodes is that every time the camera journeys into the women's room for characters to converse or do whatever, there's always another woman you've never seen before just weeping inconsolably by the mirror.
Crying uncontrollably.
Yes.
What do you make of, have you seen that new, that FX show Damages?
Yes.
And what do you make of that?
I make that I really super enjoyed the first 98% of the first episode, and then it took a twist at the very end that I wondered to my own self whether I was going to be able to follow. But I haven't looked at the second episode, though. I do hold that DVD in my left hand right now.
Is that sort of a figurative holding, or you're actually
No, I literally, as I said it then, and I'll say it now, I leaned over and picked it up. It's sitting on my desk.
Excellent. I watched it last night.
Wait, can you listen?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk. So, you know, you think I can't do something new, you know, to brighten things up a little bit, and there I was holding the very DVD copy of the show that you talk about, and to prove that I held it, I was thwacking it against the desk.
Scotty, you know what to do.
Don't you dare. Do not dare.
Seriously, by the end of this phone call, that'll be excerpted out and in my quick play folder here.
I got two words for you. Restraining order.
I can be as crude as I like, sir. Anita Hill will not protect you here. I had a friend of mine, my friend Patrick, who is really into The Shield, and he and I talk about The Shield all the time and how great it is, and he actually held up that pilot episode of Damages as being up there with The Shield, and I don't know that that's true because it does, I mean, granted, it's only the pilot, it does seem a little more self-consciously evil than The Shield does. The Shield sort of seems to, even though it is pulpy, it seems to arrive at those things a little more organically. And who knows? Maybe this is just where they had to set the bar real high early on.
Well, they were totally trying to. I mean, I think that twist at the end was modeled almost entirely on that famous pilot episode of The Shield, which went one way throughout the whole thing and took that huge twist in the end when Mackey shot that dude in the face.
Yeah.
And then everything kind of flowed from there. So in this case, it didn't completely compromise the show. I just wasn't certain. Whereas I had been there, like, for every syllable and every shot of the first, 98% of the show. That last sequence there, I felt like, oh, wow, that feels way more theatrical and way more just, created for a show than natural to me.
Right, right. All right, well, I know that we're kind of under the gun and you got some stuff to do here, so I will say this real briefly. Is there anything coming up this week that I really need to care about?
Yo, snap. Yeah, there's actually, I believe there's lots of good stuff coming up this week, and I'm trying to remember what it is. I watch things so out of context, and I've been in being in LA, I'm even further out of context than usual. But just the usual, Mad Men and Damages and what else? Mad Men, of course, is on AMC, and it feels like an FX show. But and this is one of AMC's first attempts to do a serious, high profile scripted show.
Did you catch that? Did you catch that they actually used the F word in that premiere episode, that pilot episode of Mad Men?
They did.
They did, and I heard a discussion on another radio program, and they were talking about how cable is pushing the boundaries of language, and how how you can use the S word, although the F word is still verboten. But that's actually not true. If you go back and you watch the pilot episode of Mad Men,
what scene was it?
It was when the main character Don Draper is talking to that sort of weaselly, recently married underling in the hallway.
Billy. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had sort of tried to sabotage each other in the smoking pitch. And then they were making peace in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of make their uneasy truce. Don Draper turns to go away, and the other guy says, under his breath but still audibly, says, F you, as the guy walks away. And it is, I mean, it's there. He doesn't scream it, but he says it, and it's audible. Which is interesting. I think that may be a first for anything on basic cable that's not South Park.
Or doesn't have Bono.
No. Yes, well done. Good reference, sir. All right, my friend. Well, I hope your day gets better. And if you look, let me just put it this way. If you need people handled, you let me know. I know people who know people. All right? If you need anybody spoken to, you just let Rick Emerson know about that.
Seriously. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. Okay, yeah, if you could do some beat downs, I'll make a list.
You said that. I didn't say that. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you later.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
There's Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, really? And we just got the Carlin audio from Scotty. Oh, like 5 seconds ago. Oh, that's too bad. Really? Let me see if it's here. I think you have it, sir. I think he just sent it to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It looks like Scotty just sent you that Peter Carlin sound. Let's see if it plays. I should call him back just to play it. We should send it
to him. Yeah, he'd appreciate it.
Should send it to him in a voice.
You listen?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, no, we can't call him. If we call him back now, he's clearly in a foul mood.
Yeah, he's in a fragile state, I think.
Scotty, can you find a way just to send that right to his voicemail?
You listen?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Oh, these are good. Who's on the hotline, Scotty? Really? Is this Peter Carlin?
Yes.
Hello, Peter. There's one more thing I wanted to say.
You listen?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk. See, I knew you were going to do that.
Well, I lost the bitches ain't nothing clip that you said a long time. I've lost that. So I had to replace it with something.
Great. Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
You really, really need to stop doing that.
I put a smile on your face, though, didn't I?
Yeah, but it's the worst kind. Did you?
That's nice.
It's the fact that there's like a sound effect, too. Let's hear it one more time.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk. If you ever air that, I swear to God, bad things will happen.
You know we're on the air now.
Pardon me?
Bye now.
Yeah, great.
Bye. That's Peter Carlin for the Oregonian, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. He is so going to kill you.
Well, he said it on the air once already.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my head.
Oh, I got to...
Just that sound.
Scotty, you got to trim that a little bit.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Scotty, can you
just
trim it a little bit?
The smacking and cut out
my Ernie-like laughter at the end. That's wonderful. All right. Should we do the top five?
Well, we need to take a break.
Okay, well, let's come back with Tim and then do the top five. All right, take a break here. Around the corner, Tim and the top five 80s slow dance songs. It's all on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Yeah. Just a second. We'll get to Tim Riley, then the top five. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. When you go to London, you might see the Northern Lights when you fly over. It's really cool.
Is that the Aurora Borealis thing?
Yeah.
Now, is that just because of the time of the year, or can you see that all the time?
If you fly high enough, you can see it all the time.
Interesting. Now, has anybody here seen the Northern Lights when they flew to Europe?
I have not, no.
Sarah?
I think I might have.
All right. What does it look like, sir?
It's kind of like just a wavy green light.
Oh, no then.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. I mean, not in real life, but I've seen that
on TV.
Yeah, on the TV. All right,
yeah,
excellent. So I should check that out when I'm flying to London.
Yeah, you look to the north and you could probably see it.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Yep.
All right. And one more before we go to the news. Hi. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
As far as Peter Carlin, best soundbite ever.
Oh, that guy's genius. And I think we did make him smile a little bit. I think we improved his day ever so slightly.
I just want to make a comment about Mad Men, which is a great show as well. I caught that, the F-bomb, as they say.
Yeah.
It was really well placed. It was well done.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't overstated. They didn't put it in your face. And actually, since it's on AMC, if you have Comcast, it's on demand. So you can watch the past episodes, the pilot episode and the last episode. And I had to run it back 3 times for my wife, who did not believe me.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, I caught it the first time, but my wife didn't believe me either. She's like, they can't say the F word. And I said, they told them they can, and they did.
That's right.
Do you remember when it was... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I like the way that they did it. It was understated.
Do you remember when it was like a big deal? Remember when it was a big deal, like on NYPD Blue or something? They would have like somebody say the S word, and it was like considered really, really groundbreaking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a simpler time, my friend.
Yeah, there it is. That's the relaxing of public mores.
Thank you, Steve.
Anyway.
Yes, no, it's. I blame miniskirts.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
The sound really sells it.
This is Tim Riley.
Well, the next time somebody is rude and tells you, why don't you go get a new face? You can say gladly, because now you can get one.
Do people say that to you frequently?
Yes, they do. Brigham and Women's Hospital has given a surgical team permission to perform face transplants on disfigured patients. Make it the second U.S. hospital that's gone public with plans to do this. Now, there have already been a couple of face transplants, one in China and two in France. And, we need more.
Of course, in China, they tell you it's a real face, but then it's just made out of, like, popsicle sticks and dirt or something.
Mm-hmm. Antifreeze.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the world of science, now they're making cleaner manure pigs. Yes, research is underway. The Canadians are doing this. Apparently, manure from these pigs has less phosphorus, a pollutant that runs off into lakes and rivers, and can cause algae blooms and kill fish. Now, that's normal pig manure, but with this better Canadian pig, that won't happen. So they're looking for commercial investors right now. They also have some competition. There's also some extra milk-producing pigs out there.
Milk-producing pigs?
Yes.
I never thought about that, but I guess they are mammals, and I guess the baby pigs. That's a thing. You don't really think about them selling that in stores, like pig milk.
No.
That's interesting.
Also, some antibacterial goat milk is on the horizon.
I've never had goat milk. The closest I've ever had is goat cheese. Is feta goat cheese? Does anybody know? Or is feta just a type of cheese? I think feta cheese is made from goat's milk.
Maybe so. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's birthday. He is 60 years old today. They're celebrating in his hometown of Austria. It's called A Day for Arnold. He's from the southern village of Teibesgraz. And they put up a plaque there, which is probably their entire gross national profit for the year.
They've saved for a decade.
Let's see, what else do we have here? I do want to talk a little bit more about Tom Snyder because he was such a popular person. He passed away today at the age of 71. He was questioned about reading books before interviewing authors on his legendary late-night television show.
I have a theory on reading a book by somebody who's going to appear on the show. I don't think that's too good a method of preparation, because if I'm having a guy on, I don't much care what he's got to say. He's going to say that on the program anyway, so why should I bore myself for 24 hours all night long reading his book to find out what he's going to say tomorrow morning? I know what he's going to say.
Well done. That's
absolutely
refreshingly candid.
We need more people like him.
Totally.
So Tom Snyder passed away at the age of 71 from leukemia.
You know, that is sort of the unspoken thing on chat shows, as they say. You'll get some author on, and without fail, every single time, that they're interviewing some author. The guy said, well, that's just a great... Leno is the worst with it. It's such a great book. It really is just fantastic. And wonderful. And then you like to believe that they've read the book, but you just know in your heart they haven't. That never sounds convincing either.
Larry King is the worst. You know he hasn't prepped anything for anybody.
No, it's all written on huge index cards. Written on massive cue cards in like foot-high letters. Yeah.
So he's still around. Let's see, what else do we have? You know, lightning can strike twice. Just ask Don Frick. Frick said he survived being struck by lightning for the second time. and he's 68. He was attending an old-time jazz festival on Friday when a storm came up quickly. He and six others sought refuge in a shed just before lightning struck the ground nearby. None of those in the shed were seriously injured, except for Don. A teenager shot to death by an officer as he took off from a burglary scene may have tried to pull up his sagging pants, calling the officer to mistake the movement for reaching for a weapon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he was leaving a where was this at?
Gary, Indiana.
Oh, well,
one of the worst
boy,
places.
Boy, Gary, Indiana is just a cesspool. Mm-hmm. That place is just, that's one of those Flint, Michigan type towns they just talk about now. It's like, better just to throw a net over the whole place and nuke it from orbit.
Mm-hmm. Birthplace of Joe Jackson's parenting skills.
I was just going to say, a whole city modeled on the fetch me a stick, boy. That's totally what that is. It's a whole lot of children raised by their parents beating them with planks.
Well, these low-hanging trousers that the wearer is most frequently hoist have become a hip-hop fashion statement.
Have
popularized
they?
By those rappers.
First I've heard of it.
Sagging britches have their roots in prison culture, where inmates are often issued ill-fitting pants and belts are banned. You've got to know there's a gun or something that's going to hurt somebody, and these kinds of excuses justify just that. We've got a long way to go, say the lawyers. R&B star The Usher may have found solace in the hands of his mother following a cancellation of his weekend wedding. According to the New York Daily News, the singer was expecting to head to Atlanta Sunday to visit with his mom, Johnetta, one day after his nuptials to Tamika Foster were supposed to go down. One reason the ceremony was called off is not to be because the woman, who is rumored to disapprove of Foster, was not going to be there. 28-year-old Usher and 38-year-old Foster are expecting their first child together. Apparently, this Foster doesn't have a first name. The star-studded wedding was supposed to go down Saturday at Island Def Jam head Ellie Reed's Long Island estate, but it was canceled at the last minute. Reality show and rock music star Ozzy Osbourne has left Rose Medical Center in Denver. Rose said he was there for minor outpatient surgery, apparently, with a blood clot to the knee. Osbourne is 59. His Ozzy Fest played the Corus Amphitheater on Saturday. A reef of glass sponges. This is an Oregon story. This is the last of the Oregon. A reef of glass sponges created a deep sea oasis 360 feet below the ocean. It's been discovered for the first time in U.S. waters. These sponges are rich with marine life, and scientists call them a kindergarten of living hotels.
I don't understand anything that's going on.
Wait, glass sponges?
Hotels?
Yes, a reef of glass sponges.
Kindergarten?
Yes. These Manhattans of the seafloor house a diversity of starfish, crabs, shrimp, rockfish, worms, and snails.
There needs to be like
it's
a film
like
strip sound effect.
Fantasy...
This.
Next slide. It's like being in a very fancy aquarium or a very expensive Japanese restaurant.
The gypsy moth. Nature's excavator.
When sponges die, they can live for a century. The next generation grows on top of them. This reef is 2,000 feet long and up to 10 feet tall. Glass sponge reefs are also found in British Columbia and more in inland waters. It's really an exciting discovery, says Susanna Fuller, a sponge expert.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Just going to find every excuse to play that. Shall we do the top five?
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your top five for Monday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Did you see they're remaking Footloose?
No.
Yeah, did you read that article the other day? And that's actually not, that's not why I did this top five. I don't even know why this, I think I was just sort of laying in bed last night and this just popped into my head for no readily apparent reason. But they're remaking Footloose with some dick, some guy I don't care about. See, now I gotta look it up. But because apparently that's what we're all needing, Footloose.
Footloose.
Oh, I gotta Google it right now. Let's see. Footloose. Oh, no, I can't find it. Because, you know, they've been doing a play of Footloose for the longest time. They've been doing a stage play of it. Oh, here we go. Zac Efron. Who is that? Efron.
Was he
in High School Musical?
Yeah.
And the Hairspray.
Oh.
He's the latest flavor of the month of the younger set.
Is he... Is he good? Do we like him?
Right, he's like a teeny bopper star.
Yeah, he looks like a little snotty.
He's a Leif Garrett of this generation.
Yeah, he's apparently going to be playing the Kevin Bacon role in the remake of Footloose, which we're all clamoring for. All right, ladies and gentlemen, these are the top five 80s slow dance songs.
With honorable mention, going to Almost Paradise by Ann Wilson and Mike Reno. Yes, it's true.
Sessions presents
Ann Wilson and Mike Reno.
Silver
with Almost Paradise.
Such a good song.
On the station that believes in love. 9:07 a.m.
I thought that dreams belonged to other men.
This is Ann Wilson and Mike Reno.
Each time
I got close, I love this song.
Things fall apart again.
They just don't record songs like this anymore. Really, if they did this song now, it would be by Usher, and it would start with that brrrr sound.
Oh, how could I have known?
Ann Wilson was still hot here. I mean, she's still hot now. I mean, just because she sings this way.
Oh,
listen to that. This is right when she started to turn the weight corner, though. They could pack her into those clothes just enough to make her look skinny still.
Kind of what Britney Spears is doing right now.
Totally, yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, Ann Wilson can get away with looking like whatever. She can get away with being skinny, being fat, being plain, being gussied up, as my mom would say, because she's got this voice. This was right around the time that Heart had that comeback record, I think. That self-titled record was like 86. What year did Footloose come out? 83?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is right before Heart had their big comeback. You know what's not on this list, but really ought to be? Scotty pointed out that Scotty's already pointed out one omission on this list of the top five 80s slow dance songs. These Dreams by Heart is not on this list. That really ought to be on this list, really, now that I think about it. But what are you going to do? I can hear one more hook, and then we'll... God. And the weird thing is, I remember, like, specific girls that I would dance with at school dances to this song. Because I can count the number of girls I danced with on, like, one hand.
Oh.
I just wanted to... Did you want to ask me to dance? No! And then I would just run away. good times.
Let's go to number five now.
Tim's just moving us along.
There's Berlin and You Take My Breath Away.
Yeah.
Is this from Cocktail?
I don't want them to know I've fallen for you. What?
Is this a song in Cocktail?
No. Different cruise movie. Guess again.
Top Gun.
Yeah, it was the first breakthrough movie soundtrack.
Yeah, I hadn't seen Top Gun like my senior year of college.
Here's the thing. Top Gun's a terrible film. I know
that's
that I'm
how
not
I feel about like Footloose and Flashdance and those. I still don't like those.
They're not very good. You watch Flashdance now, it's an awful film. Footloose is moderately
Val
amusing.
Val Kilmer's really hot, though.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I'll be your wingman anytime. The Top Gun, though, is notable because before Top Gun, unless it was a musical, like Sound of Music or The Pajama Game or something, the soundtracks are always one hit single and then a bunch of throwaway tracks. It was always like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, but then the rest of the Romancing the Stone soundtrack you didn't know. Or it was like Axel F, but then nobody cared about the rest of the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. Top Gun was the first soundtrack where
every... When did Dirty Dancing come out, though?
After Top Gun, I'm almost sure.
Yeah, 87?
Yeah, and Top Gun was like 84. Top Gun was the first soundtrack of the modern age where multiple singles, because it had this, Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins, multiple songs on the Top Gun soundtrack were hits. And now it's, and that started the whole trend where now when they advertise the movie on, you know, on the trailer, they'll take the last 10 seconds just to show what's on the soundtrack. Soundtracks never used to be a marketing tool. Top Gun changed all that. Boy, this is a terrible song.
It's monotonous.
It really is. It's completely uninteresting.
Yeah.
This has got a terrible video, too. All right, these are the top five 80s slow dance songs.
At number four, it's Cyndi Lauper with Time After Time.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I love this song so much. This is such a great song.
And in my generation, this always just reminds me of Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion.
Yeah. Isn't this in What's It To? Isn't this in goddamn Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah, I think it is. she'll always be regarded as kind of a cheap Madonna knockoff.
Yeah, I know, which is... Boy, I get all kinds of thoughts on that. There's just not enough room to fit them all in here. It is kind of a shame that Cyndi Lauper didn't have a bigger, brighter, longer career. Because she's got a great voice. I mean, really... Now, don't get me wrong. I love Madonna. Cyndi Lauper's a much better singer, though. She's got a much wider vocal range. She's got a deeper voice. She's got a more expressive voice. I mean, her range is like 10 times that of Madonna. She just doesn't have the right material. And unlike Madonna, Cyndi Lauper did not take a strong enough control of her own image, and she let herself be pegged as a novelty act. That was the problem with that Girls Just Want to Have Fun song, followed by Shabop, two real strong singles. But the problem was her image. You know, she let herself have that weird, trashy East Village look, and she got trapped in that. I think this other guy, by the way, is what's-his-name, Mike Hazard from the Hooters.
She was kind of like a female Boy George.
Exactly. That is well spoken, Tim Riley. That's perfect.
That's why I'm paying the big bucks.
It's true. And even though Cyndi Lauper has a very, very broad vocal range, you hear her sing now, and it's amazing. If you've heard her sing live, her vocal range is astounding. But when she was doing this stuff, remember she would do that affected Bronx, like, well, I'm getting mad. And it was like she put on this like fake chirpy quirky accent.
Yeah, Frank Drescher.
Yeah, exactly. And she immediately got pigeonholed, which is too bad. God, what a beautiful song this is, though. I could listen to this song all day. All right, we're doing the top five 80s slow dance songs.
And at number three, the real Madonna with "Crazy for You."
No, pseudo Madonna.
I already told you the story where I requested this at my senior prom.
I don't think you did. I don't remember that.
No, and they never played it.
Bastards.
I was so looking forward to it. It was always my dream to dance to this song.
I'm sure there's somebody in the audience who could make that dream come true today, Sarah. Maybe you and Seamus could dance in the shadow of your new hot dog cooking thing.
Here's Madonna. I'm crazy for you.
What soundtrack is this from?
Vision Quest.
Very good. Vision Quest had its share of hits, too. Hungry for Heaven by Dio. Lunatic Fringe by Red Rider. Where Eagles Dare, I think, by Sammy Hagar's on the soundtrack. And I'm the weird one. Seamus spends like $190 to send you a hot dog cooker overnight,
well,
and I'm
slow
strange.
Dance in the shadow of my hot dog cooker. That's the weirdest thing.
It's not gonna be whacking it against the desk.
It sounds like something out of a Steven Spielberg movie.
I don't think she still sings this song anymore, which is a shame. We're going to do a day where we just have Madonna theme music. All day, Madonna bumper music. We could do it chronologically. We start with, like, the Holiday Lucky Star era, move all the way up through Ray of Light and, you know, her recent albums. All right. Counting in the top five 80s slow dance songs.
At number two, it's Billy Vera with the Beaters at this moment.
Now, Sarah probably doesn't. Do you know the song?
I don't recognize it so far.
This is unique. This is a uniquely Gen X phenomenon.
What? Oh, yeah.
This, I would do. The weird thing about this guy, Billy Vera, is he had a big, successful career before this song, and he's had a big, long, successful career after this song, but not in this genre. Like, none of his other successes, but this is an aberration for him. Billy Vera is and was a pretty sought-after R&B producer. Wrote a lot of R&B songs through the 60s. His own, you know, Billy Vera and the Beaters are, I guess, I guess especially in the West Coast, they're a very renowned R&B live act. This song was a total, like, Boy Named Sue, My Ding-a-ling type aberration, where this is not representative of their style at all.
Rick Dees played the heck out of this song over and over again on Kissin', and that's what made it a hit.
That and the producers of the television program Family Ties, starring our own Teeny Gothers, saw him sing this song live, and they put this in the episode where Tracy Pollan was running away to France on a dance scholarship, and Alex chases after her and goes to the bus station, and I'm sounding autistic again. But this song rose to fame on the strength of the Rick Dees playlist and on the strength of Family Ties. You just don't love me no more. Great song. I mean, you know, the great thing about this guy is he's totally zen with it. I mean, he does his normal R&B stuff, but when you go to see him, he sings this song and he sells it. He's not jaded about it. And I guess it's because he was already, you know, relatively successful and wealthy doing his other stuff. But boy, if you're between the ages of, I don't know, like 30 and 45, you just the opening, just that, what did you think? I mean, those make you weep openly. I'm going to skip right to the end.
Yeah.
Counting down the top five 80s slow dance songs. That was Billy Bear and the Beaters. Rick Emerson.
Now we're down to number one. The long-awaited. This is Prince with Purple Rain.
Oh, come on.
Blame it on Scotty.
Awesome.
And a notation here says you forgot George Michael with Careless Whisper.
Yeah, Scotty's insisting I should have done Careless Whisper. I don't like Careless Whisper.
Me either.
Sounds like a smooth jazz song.
I never meant to call you tomorrow.
Yeah, These Dreams by Heart, I could see that. Oh, maybe, what is that song by Sheriff? When I'm With You by Sheriff. But this is it. This is not only the definitive slow dance song of the 80s, to me, in terms of pop music, to me, this is the definitive 80s pop song. I've said that a million times, but I believe it to be the case. If I had to send something into outer space to represent 80s pop, it would be this song. And it's like 9 minutes long, which is great.
Sometimes, you know, you have days where you just want to listen to albums. I have days sometimes where I'll just lay in the middle of my living room and listen to Purple Rain.
And, I'm, you know, there was a time when he didn't embrace this. There was a time when he kept trying to move past Purple Rain. Like, he would tour and be... Oh, by the way, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in history, back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour, all the way through Lycus. He would go see Prince, and he wouldn't play anything for the Purple Rain album because he was trying to escape that shadow. Now with that Super Bowl performance last year, and I think he's, you know, he's achieved enough success with other records that he's, you know, he's zen with it. How many? How long do we have to break here? How long until, rather?
Probably like 2-3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just going to skip ahead to the end here. Skip ahead to like 3 minutes left.
Do it.
Ah, I've gone too far. Hold on. There we go. No one noticed. Come on, how great is that? That's just as good as it gets. Boy, when he recorded this, he must have just known. This whole album, I mean, from Let's Go Crazy all the way through, I mean, he must have just, when he finished the song, he must have just, I mean, just start writing checks right then. Ah, fantastic. All right, back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, don't go anywhere. Like Friday, we're going to do all Madonna bumper music.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
I guess.
You know, Dennis Miller does that where he picks, you know, so I'm kind of lifting it from him, I guess, because he does that band of the day. Like, he did all Allman Brothers the other day, and I think he's done all Stones, but all Madonna. That's how we'll set ourselves apart.
Okay.
Maybe. It all depends on how motivated I am. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to do top five 90s slow dance songs.
I already have 5 out of the 6.
And well done. Excellent. All right. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcast. The final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget, tomorrow we will get to our search for the second worst story in the history of all the world. Dennis Pitzenbarger will join us. We'll do a little bit of high concept discussion tomorrow, and we will hear the worst weather reports ever recorded. Real quickly, let's end this with Jim. Or not. Just reaching for it. Okay. Hi, Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. You got like 19 seconds. 17. 12.
Really ending on the upswing.
Kevin?
Hi.
That's in the past episode.
Yeah.
56.
Uh-huh.
Oh, 6.
Can you imagine that?
No.
No.
All right, thank you. No idea. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it. We're back in 20 hours. My friends, like us next. Donna Mike at 7, Stephanie Miller 6 to 8, Dennis Miller 8 to 11. We will return tomorrow at 11. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, the PA, Scotty J, and of course, the gatekeeper, Dave Zinn. As always, don't let the bastards grind it down. Do try to help the retarded, as I did today with stunning success and clarity. And of course, watch out for snakes. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.